Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
How's it going, everybody? Last night, we had a scheduling error, and the show ended up getting canceled. But it's all right, because it's Lydia's birthday, so she got the night off.
Happy birthday. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. My coworkers threw me a party. This is my favorite gift that I got. It's by Ibram X. Kendi.
It's a good one.
Reynolds. It's called Stamped for Kids, and I'm going to read it and get back to you guys.
Yeah, it's anti-racism for children.
That's right,
Because there's not enough critical race applied principles in our schools. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing that Ibram has written a book for children. maybe, you know. It's an important thing we should.
It's like Communist for Kids, where you spell it with a K, right?
Yeah, it's really cute. Yeah,
I'm surprised they're not publishing the manifesto with pop-up book versions yet.
Yeah,
honestly,
it'll be augmented reality.
Yeah. But I know, Liz, I know you want to have kids and whatnot. It'll be good for you to have that book in your arsenal for.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to go through it and like make notes and everything. It'll be good.
Good for you.
Suck it up, Seamus.
What?
If I want to defund the police and then spend $70,000 on private security for myself, I'm going to do it, and I'll spend $200,000 if I have to. You know why? Because I'm important. Because I'm doing the hard work. I'm the one and the only one who can save these people.
What stage of capitalism is this? Are you kidding? Okay. They're defunding the police and paying tens of thousands for their own private security?
Seamus. Yeah. My theatrics may have been only slightly.
You actually, I thought you were serious.
That is almost a verbatim quote from Cori Bush. She is a progressive. She was sleeping on the steps at the Capitol because of the eviction moratorium. But she actually went on this tirade where she was like, I'm doing the work. And I have threats. So I will spend up to $200,000 if I have to.
And no one else has ever had their life threatened besides an elected official who could afford private security.
It's true.
So awesome.
With campaign funds.
I'm glad she's defunding the police. Isn't she part of the squad? Isn't she one of these socialists? Here's this really.
I don't know if she's a socialist.
I don't know if she's a socialist. All right.
But she's a squad member. And
but here's the thing. Well, I want to educate her because I don't know if you know this, but I'm a socialist, Tim.
Are you?
And yes. Good. I think that it's wrong that the ultra wealthy should be the only people with access to security. I believe we should universalize security by having people's taxes fund like security guards. But for the whole public.
So you're saying universal private security?
Universal private
Abolish
security.
Abolish
a single-payer private security system. What? And I think some of these sock dems and socialists might be interested in something like that.
I like that.
I don't know. It's a hard sell. You know, they're very much
so
about
only the wealthy? So only the wealthy should have security, Tim?
Apparently that's their plan. But, oh, no, Seamus. You misunderstand. They're staunch defenders of the Second Amendment.
Oh, no. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Of course, ever should have guns. Now, of course, I'm being a little bit silly here. Private security is one of the things, or I shouldn't say private security, but security is one of the things that it's reasonable for the state to provide, so we don't call that socialism. But it's funny to me how the government's supposed to fund everything except for the basic things that it actually is supposed to fund, like the police.
We got this story. We got a bunch of other stories. Israel is now moving to 3 COVID shots.
Third one?
There's some breaking news. I haven't been able to verify yet. I don't speak Hebrew. And there's a report that came out from Israel's Channel 13. I could not verify the translation because I've only just seen it. It came out earlier today.
He only just started Hebrew school.
I can tell you that there's a report saying that the infection rates are going way, way up in Israel. Hospitalizations are way up, and they're contemplating another hard lockdown, but they're going to try a third COVID shot to see if that works. And now Dr. Fauci has said they are rushing for approval for a third shot for those that are immunocompromised or weakened. So you look, based on that, based on Joe Biden's illegal eviction moratorium that he put into place in the Supreme Court, said you can't do it.
Yeah.
I think whether or not there's going to be another lockdown, the rule of law was just smacked with a sledgehammer.
Absolutely.
Supreme Court's like, you do not have the authority to demand people give their property to somebody else. And Joe Biden went, I'm going to do it anyway. And then he did.
Exactly.
So that's where we are.
Was there like a property tax moratorium? Are these landlords who own property no longer required to fulfill their obligation to give the government money? Or
don't say landlord, say retiree.
Say retiree. Yeah, honestly.
The 60-year-olds who put their retirement funds into like a two flat and rent out a portion of it, and that's their retirement. Yeah, those are the people getting hit by this.
Yeah, well, so, that's the thing. Like, landlord has become this political cuss word, but most landlords are not uber wealthy people. You know, they're in the middle, they're middle class or they're retirees. This is a way they supplement their income or try to make a living for themselves.
Fixed income.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about all that. Obviously, Seamus is here. He's talking about
Seamus
stuff.
Yes, I am. Seamus, Freedom Tunes. I run this channel called Freedom Tunes, TOONS, YouTube.com/Freedom Tunes. We're going to be uploading a cartoon tomorrow about good old Dr. Fauci, as a matter of fact. So if you want to check that out.
Droplets.
If you want to go over there and check that, subscribe and check that out tomorrow.
This is the most martial of laws I've ever experienced in the United States. 40 years or something. I've never seen it to the point where it's just, they just override the Supreme Court, and it's kind of weird. And I know that, like, they did during the Spanish flu, you know, like during times of disease has been a notable time for governments to take martial law action, but I wasn't expecting it.
It was different. It was different back when you had sort of a consensus, when you had culture and community and everyone kind of agreed.
Right. Now you have the internet and all this different conflicting data, and it's driving people crazy and making people second guess things. It's really a weird time.
Well, and also, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but this is not exactly the same as the Spanish flu in terms of deadliness.
As far as we can tell, yeah. A lot of that was sanitary. They didn't have a lot of
what
we have now.
The Spanish flu is almost the exact reverse because it caused your immune system to turn on your body. So younger people with healthier immune systems were more likely to die of it. And in this case, COVID, I think it's something like 80% of COVID deaths are people above the age of 65. So it's much more likely to affect the elderly, whereas the Spanish flu is much more likely to affect younger, healthier people.
I think, and to clarify too, I think the booster shots in Israel are for people over 60.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Oh.
But we got Lydia pressing buttons.
I am here in the corner pushing buttons. It is in fact my birthday. Thank you guys for joining me on my birthday. It's a wonderful birthday.
Happy
and I appreciate
birthday,
everyone in my life. So
we hit a pinata earlier.
Yeah, Seamus freaking destroyed that pinata. Got a bunch of candy. It was really, really fun. I appreciate that.
Cool. I missed that.
What'd
you hit it with?
A bat.
He murdered.
There are
bat.
Some of those
a fist. I just
around.
Put my dukes up, you dude, and they blindfolded me, and I started swinging, and I broke. And they're like, "You broke the pinata." I was like, "Pinata." Like,
did you go on the trampoline?
I did not. No, I haven't checked it out yet.
Oh, man,
it's
so
really big.
Fun.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we get started, head over to TimCast.com. Become a member to get access to exclusive members-only segments on the TimCast IRL podcast, as well as an ad-free experience, and you'll be supporting our fierce and independent journalists.
That's right.
I'll slow down a little bit.
That was good, though. That was very clear.
Yeah, honestly, I think I'm going to go do it.
Like the Micro Machines guy.
I should do those Radiohead commercials, you know, where it's like... Go to TimCast.com, become a member, and you will support our work. We got two new shows. We got the D&D show, we got the Mystery Show, and we're also launching a nonprofit to do fact-checking. I talked about this like a year ago, where we're going to take a random sampling of articles from a website from like from the past 3 months, and then do a journalistic ethics check, and then give them a score like X out of 100. So it'll be really interesting to see like New York Times getting like a 60 out of 100 or something. And then like HuffPost will get like a 3 out of 100. I'm not even kidding, because they don't all their pieces are opinion pieces, and they don't label them as opinion, which means they'll probably get a 0 out of 100. No joke. You got to put opinion on an opinion piece. It's one of the standard journalistic ethics. So anyway, go to TimCast.com. Sign up. Smash the like button. Subscribe to this channel. Share the show with your friends. And let's talk about what's happening with good old Cori Bush. My friends, welcome to the show. Suck it up. Cori Bush defends hiring private security guards while demanding America defund police. This is brilliant. She said, I'm going to make sure that I have security because I know Man, I could just emphasize all the eyes. Have had attempts
like
on my life.
Or something.
And I have to have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. Wow.
That is someone who should just not be given any more power in any other context for the rest of their life. Like, they have already fallen into the perfect totalitarian mindset. I'm more important than the average person, so a different set of rules should apply to me.
Check it out. In her one sentence, she says, I'm going to make sure that I have security because I know I had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to a seven in one
seven.
Sentence.
Wow.
Incredible.
That is really fantastic.
Narcissistic.
Good for her.
And I'm someone who says I a lot as well. But I'm impressed.
You did TimCast IRL. It's in my name.
Yeah, it's in the name. That's true. Right. Yeah.
She says, so if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work, she added, so suck it up. Defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets. Okay, to be fair, she said we in that sentence.
Well, she said we. So that means she's a woman of the people. I'm convinced.
Yeah, this I'm sold.
Ida
it
we.
Comes out. Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's the perfect example of moral licensing, right?
Can anybody question the squad on their stance on guns? I think that's a really important thing because the left, like real leftists, they like
they
guns.
Like guns. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so their support base are progressives. What will the progressives think? Like, where are they at on this one? I don't think anyone's ever been like, Ocasio-Cortez, how do you feel about guns?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, gun control is a losing issue for the left. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of their base is very much in favor of guns and would be against the gun restrictions that the more moderate Democrats tend to push for.
I think it's establishment Democrats that are anti-gun.
Yes, exactly.
Leftists are pro-gun. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a good portion of, like, union Democrat, mm-hmm. like, working guys,
yeah,
if pro-gun. They still exist,
yeah.
probably
there are
pro-gun.
Some. No, I know some, yeah.
And the days of ballistic fabrication have evolved. I mean, you can 3D print weaponry now that didn't exist 20 years ago. The whole idea of legislating illegality to something that people can do in their house mm-hmm. in
not
secrecy
only,
is insane.
I don't know. I mean, like, you can make meth in your house in secrecy.
I mean, I guess.
And I'm like, it's possible. I was like,
physically, but not legally.
Yeah. No, that's my point. I mean, but then again, the drug war has been a failure. But, like, clearly we can legislate things you can make in your house. But I agree, it makes it a lot more difficult. And it's going to be a massive uphill battle for the people who want to regulate guns, not only because, as you said, you can make these things in your house and the technology is improving, but because the vast majority of the public isn't on board with that agenda.
Did you ever hear about that guy who made a radiation death ray in his garage? And he, like, irradiated his whole neighborhood.
Whoa.
And so the government found out because they were getting this crazy, like, really intense reading. And he had taken a bunch of common, like, radioactive materials, because they exist all over the place. And he, like, made a big cluster of it, and then he put it in, like, I could be getting the story wrong, so someone fact check me, because I just read it on the internet somewhere. But he created, like, a lead casing with a hole, and then he put all of this radioactive material in it, and it focused the radiation out of it. And so apparently they came and, like, shut him down. He got offered a job, but then kept doing illegal stuff with radiation. It was, like, covered in lesions. So they, like, kicked him out of whatever it is they were doing.
I was just thinking.
Just real quick. I bring that up because of what your point was. Like, that home fabrication of things, it literally happens. But the reason I brought up 2A in the first place in the context of the squad is Cori Bush says defund the police. All right. And many of the leftists have said straight up abolish the police. Now, here's the problem I have with their view on this is that they want private security for themselves.
Yes.
They don't want you to have guns mm-hmm. and they want to take away your police. That is anarcho-tyranny to the most extreme degree. Mm-hmm. My position is abolish the police and give everyone guns mm-hmm. by mandate.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, like, if you establish a global Second Amendment, like, how often do civilians from one country ever get charged with attacking another country? It's like, in the last 400 years.
There was that guy in San Francisco who shot that woman.
So, like, but I mean, like, military escapades. In the last 400 years, I can't really pick, like, a citizen attack on another country. It's always the government. So, if these citizens were armed, we would probably see a lot less war.
You know,
but arming the citizens doesn't necessarily mean you get rid of the military in that country.
Right, you'd still have a military, but you'd also have an armed citizenry on both sides.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
You know, my view of it is, like, I've been saying abolish the police just because I see what's going on with, you know, the Metro Police in D.C. and the Capitol Police. What happened with that guy in his own home getting arrested? What happened in Seattle with the cops actually defending Antifa? And I'm like, dude, call their bluff. Call them out. Say just, okay, people should have a right to defend themselves. And if, you know, if cops aren't going to do it right. But my view is give everybody guns, right? Second Amendment, you have a right to keep and bear arms. Okay, then if we're going to have universal health care, we're going to have universal guns as well. But I'll put it really, really simply. I don't see people in their cars just, like, randomly, like, crashing into houses and, like, slamming the gas and slamming into old ladies or anything like that. How is it that people have access to this very powerful machine that can just hit somebody? And they don't. Mm-hmm. They don't. I kind of think people don't want to kill other people for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are a lot of traffic fatalities and you also have a lot of accidental gun deaths. But generally speaking, people aren't going out and killing each other. Now, before 2020, violent crime was on a downward trend. So we could say something like that and have data to back us up more strongly. But unfortunately, because of the summer of rage, as they call it, crime rates have more or less spiked again. And we'll see how long they stay up for, whether they decline. I'm sure they will, but who knows? Maybe things actually just get worse, and then we can't make the case that people will be peaceful with their guns, but they'll still need them to protect themselves.
This is my position on cops right now. I mean, You look at what happens with Chauvin. He gets arrested and charged. Mm-hmm. That Kim woman, that Kim Potter, and she gets arrested and charged. And I'm like, if everything is going to be beholden to the far left, the last thing we need is a police force to enforce the whims of the far left. Sorry. So, you know, when Cori Bush comes out and she's like, we're going to defund the police. I'm like, better do it now before they take more control in government and then start using the cops against regular working class people.
I don't know. We got to clarify, like, what does that mean, defund the police? Because I know when Vosh was on the show a couple nights ago, he immediately thought the anarcho version of it, which is completely remove the funding. Mm-hmm. So abolish, basically.
Right. He also said it hadn't happened. Mm. And I was like, there was a report last year. It was like 265 departments had, like, their budgets slashed by substantial numbers.
I think New York slashed $1 billion, right?
$1 billion.
So that's a defunding, not an abolishment.
I mean, look, I believe law and order is very important on the one hand. On the other hand, I think there maybe is something to allowing these left-wing cities to engage in some self-sabotage and see how that goes for them, and maybe that corrects some of the bad thinking. Ultimately, I would leave it up more to local governments and regions to determine what their police force should look like.
And you know what? I'll clarify this, too. I didn't say abolish the sheriffs or, you know, or troopers. Mm. I'm talking about these big cities where things are, like, run by Democrats, and then the Democrats complain about their own mistakes. I'm like, okay, I don't live there.
You know, when you have a baby or a child that's like, don't touch the hot stove, kid. And then the kid's like, and wants to do it. And you're like, what are you going to do? Eventually, you got to let him live his life. If he touches the stove, he burns his finger and he realizes, I shouldn't do that again. You can't spend your whole life keeping the kid out of the kitchen. So in a way, maybe we should let these cities rip their police departments apart.
I think if that's what they want, if that's who they vote for, then either... Here's the way I see it, right? Like I mentioned, first and foremost, I look at what happened when there was like a bunch of right-wing dudes in Portland or whatever, and the cops started beating them up.
Yeah.
Then you've got obviously the Capitol Police crying and saying Trump's racist and all that stuff. And then you see the guy in Milwaukee who gets arrested after people were at his house threatening his own house.
Yes.
Now that, you know, right under the surface, it's like, okay, there's clearly an issue there. But there's another two issues that I think are important. If the Democrats come out and say they want to abolish or defund their police, I'm like, first of all, I don't live there. And I'm more libertarian, so I say, well, then they can run their community as they see fit within reason. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right, huh? It'll be a utopia with no police.
Highly doubt it.
Well, hey, and maybe they're wrong. And then maybe regular people in these cities will be like, wow, we shouldn't have voted for those people.
I think a lot of those people will leave, though, to be honest. It's already happening. A lot of people are leaving the cities. The property values are decreasing. I mean, Chicago has been shrinking. That's my point of reference. Yeah. Everyone's crossing the border over to Indiana because they want to live somewhere that's sensibly run, and they want to vote for policies which are not sensible so they can destroy the way they did the place they just came from.
Well, to be honest, there's a lot of places in Indiana that have already been destroyed.
And that's very fair. Yeah, you go over to Gary and it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those that aren't familiar, Gary is like...
The armpit of America?
Gary,
is that what they call it?
Gary, I think Gary, Illinois, so or Gary, Indiana, and Englewood in Chicago like go back and forth for murder capital.
Oh, wow.
So they're
really?
Gary's like heavily Baltimore. Industrialized, isn't it? It's like the industrial zone of Chicago.
No, it's apocalyptic, bro.
It was, yeah. Dude, Gary was a long time ago. Like the they 80s? Had a steel industry, and then the 80s, I'd say.
Last time I went to Gary, it was crazy because you'd go to like a block, like a residential block, and every fourth house was a house. And in between, it was just abandoned, falling apart, chaos. And it was really weird to see like a regular house sitting right there, like a car, and then like everything destroyed next to it.
Yeah.
You walk down the street and there's a school, windows blown out, the craziest thing, man. The school, there's like records of the children who went there in the 60s, just everywhere. You could walk up, pick up someone's file, find their name.
Wow. Because
you know
there
what
were buildings
Ian?
Like that all over the place.
Actually, so what happened was the police went in and just started breaking windows and destroying houses, and it was all because it was
hunting
just the
people
cops.
Down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Right. The police were responsible.
And then
and then they defunded the police, and now Gary doesn't have many police, and it's going great.
It's very nice.
It's an interesting phenomenon in the United States. All these like ghost town type, these rubber boom like
that
Akron.
Is very interesting.
I was born in Akron, in Ohio, and it's a rubber boom city. After Goodyear was formed there in the 50s and 40s, and then. When the rubber boom stopped, it became a ghost town, but not like Gary. Gary had Akron didn't have Chicago right next door, so Gary's like the beat up aftermath of a ghost town.
Yeah,
I find it fascinating. There's all these different cities. There's another report that found Democrats in all of these cities that had defunded police were hiring massive private security.
Oh, interesting.
This is what it was like when I was growing up in Chicago. I remember my dad used to say that these politicians in Chicago would always vote for more gun restrictions.
And then have private security guards with guns. Exactly.
They Amen. Can have guns.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can have a gun to protect myself. I'll have a private security force to protect my family. But those stupid peasants out there, let them have 5-round magazines.
Yep.
If they can have a gun at all.
Yeah.
What does she think, Cori Bush, think is the point? What does she want to do? Defund the police? What does she mean? Like, get, like, social workers to go on calls of domestic abuse? And
yes. She said social. What did she say? Social safety nets?
Does she understand that, like, domestic abuse is some of the most dangerous situations a human can walk into? Two enraged people in the middle of a fight?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about two enraged people. Often you'll get like a dude abusing a woman. It is true that women abuse men as well, but it's disproportionately men abusing women.
Right.
And that's why I'm like, ladies, you need to have proper training and firearms, man.
And all, dude, I heard this. I used to live next door to this couple, and I could hear them through the walls, and they would fight a lot. And one night I heard the guy come home, and then I heard the girl like, meh, 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 meh. And the guy was like, meh? And she was like, meh, meh, meh. And the guy was like, meh, meh. And she enraged the guy, and then the guy started beating her, and I called the cops. But, like, she instigated it. It was crazy how domestic abuse is like this can be a sick cycle that both people become, like, used to.
Well, look, I can call you a bunch of dirty names. That doesn't mean you should take
No, he was in the wrong. I called the cops on him for attacking.
Right. And you're right. You're right. Police show up to that, and that's some of the most dangerous stuff they could encounter. Here's a guy. He's attacking somebody. You don't know what's going on. And sometimes the guy's innocent even. Mm. There's like a lot of these stories are kind of scary too. I think it's disproportionate, but there are stories where it's like the woman calls the cops on the guy, and the guy didn't do anything, and the cops come and arrest the guy. It's a tough job, man. There's no two words about it. And what do you do? Do we just say, like, both the man and the woman should be armed, and then when the fight breaks out, they shoot each other? No, obviously not. That's why when I talk about the police, I think the police are important. I think they do a hard job. I think they do a mostly good job. And I think it's fairly thankless in a lot of ways, because people don't like getting tickets. They don't like getting tickets. They don't like being told no. And then they get pulled over and they're like, you singled me out. And they're all angry. And it's like, well, you know, man, don't, you know, speed or whatever. The issue right now is just it's way too hot politically. And the cultural institutions being controlled by leftist ideologues. I'm like, I'll tell you what's going to happen, man, because we've already seen it. And I've already said it 50 million times. They're going to, you know, they're going to show up to your house. They're going to take away your guns. They're going to serve you a red flag warrant. They're going to arrest you for defending yourself. And they're going to let the extremists smash up windows and do whatever they want. So I'm like, I like sheriffs tend to do a good job. There's some bad stories about sheriffs. But if these big cities don't want their cops, I'm going to advocate for that.
My feeling is that it's going to be either socialized police, like what we kind of have now, federalized police, or private police. That it will be one of those three, if not a mixture of all three, which we kind of have now. So I'm afraid that if we defund socialized police, that we're going to have an influx of either federal or private.
Yep.
And that's terrifying. I'd rather have local.
Yes. Well, that's what AOC said when asked, like, what would you be looking for? And she said, we want it to be more like the suburbs. Well, that's a good point. Let's bring it back to the days of officer friendly, right?
What does she mean by that?
I guess she's saying that, like, in the suburbs, the cop will pull you over and be like, how's it going there, Ian? Good day. You are speeding again. And then you're going to be like, I'm sorry, Officer Smith. And like, well, you slow down there, son. And then he leaves, and
My dad was a fireman. They knew my dad. Mm-hmm. They go, oh, you're Crossland's kid?
White privilege.
Get out of here.
White privilege.
Here's a warning. One time I got a warning. Yeah, that was, well, it was fireman privilege.
Fireman privilege.
I'm not kidding. Quite
city worker privilege.
Check out, I want to pull up this, we got this story.
Oh yeah, this is a great story.
I love that that our guys wrote this for timcast.com.
That's a great picture.
Liberal utopia. San Francisco woman seen holding AK-47 from passenger window of speeding car. Ooh. It's amazing. There's the photo. It's a lady hanging out the window. I guess she got arrested. My understanding is it's not an AK-47. Someone mentioned it's an AKM-74 or something like that. Mm. I don't know for sure, but she has terrible trigger discipline.
She's ready, man.
Yeah.
Too
so
ready.
So, but this brings up an interesting issue. I was thinking about universal guns and stuff like that. If you're driving your car erratically, like, I think the cop can pull you over and say, get out of the car. Like, you're driving erratically. Like, if you're driving drunk. If you were brandishing a weapon out of the side of a vehicle, like, I don't think it's a violation of your Second Amendment if a cop's like, I'm taking that away from you. More importantly, with their finger on the trigger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Should you bust people just for that? Do you think if someone's walking around carrying and then they have their bad trigger discipline, like,
she's holding the gun, it looks like, I don't think she was intending on shooting anybody. I'm not sure. But she's holding it, like, low ready, basically, with her finger on the trigger. Yeah, I think she should have that taken away and, you know.
She's the passenger?
Yeah, she is.
Hanging out of the window. But this San Francisco dude.
Things are going well over there. So I was really curious though, and I don't know if we read this in the article, but was this part of like a gang war or something?
I think she was just driving.
Kind of doing
it. It was
thing?
A speed event.
With a gun?
Yeah, it was funny because a lot of comments were like, man, she's so dumb, but that photo is awesome.
That's a pretty killer photo. Wow.
It's not awesome. Dude, I look at this. I got to be honest. This lady out of a car holding that gun, and I'm not somebody who's got extensive training. Mm. I'm like, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, if I took a photo, so we did a photo shoot for when we had Forrest here for Recoil Mag.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, very careful. Make sure you're telling me how to stand and like how to hold it, because the last thing I want is to have a photo of me holding it wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, she's going to be all over the internet, and I don't know if she cares, though. She's not like...
It seems like since the movies have been invented that people have become desensitized to, like, the horrors of danger in a lot of ways. And like, because 150 years ago, if that had come out, that someone was driving around like a psycho screaming with their finger on the trigger of a weapon, that would be a huge deal for that city. They'd have to do something about that person. But now it's like... It's a hero. It's an action hero.
Were the John Dillinger days?
Almost didn't say that because there were like, what are they, Bonnie and Clyde, and like their old like villains that were kind of looked at like heroes, like in
they
the
still
old
are,
West.
Yeah.
Anti-heroes or, I don't Billy, know. Yeah, Billy it's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, like John Dillinger. You know, people look back on him with some kind of reverence.
It's been like a mad distrust for the state and like a love of local authority.
Yeah. Well, now San Francisco is just devolving. I mean, could this be, you know what's really funny is we're sitting here laughing like, haha, she's so dumb in San Francisco, it's so dumb.
Oh, no.
Could this be like the beginning of the Wild West days of America, like where it's like the dystopian era is beginning? The eviction moratorium is totally illegal. Biden's just basically blatantly disregarding all law and precedents in this country in rather extreme ways. To be fair, Obama and Trump did kill American citizens. I think Obama's was a bit more egregious. Trump's was a bit reckless. We've had bad orders from presidents for a long time, but now it's like here at home. You know what I mean? Like when Obama killed...
I've got this mic arm.
It's just squeaking,
weird ringing.
When Obama killed those Americans with a drone strike, you know, nobody knew it happened and they didn't care.
Yeah.
And Trump had ordered a commando raid, which ended up, we believe, killing a little girl. So actually, I should say that the Trump thing is not confirmed, though we believe it was the case. People don't see that stuff. Now you've got Joe Biden being like, I'm going to the Supreme Court to see if I can do this thing. And the Supreme Court's like, you can't do this thing. And then he's like, Congress, can you do this thing? And they're like, we can't do this thing. And he goes, hey, I'll do it anyway. The craziest thing is that Joe Biden threatened to arrest people for evicting somebody a year in jail. Under what authority could he do? None. Literally none. Literally, the Supreme Court's like, you can't do it. And he goes, okay, I'll do it anyway. The Supreme Court can't do anything to stop it. So when you see that and you see poop all over the streets, I tell you this, man, this woman riding around with their gun. What did you think was going to happen when people know they can break the law with impunity in San Francisco? Mm. That guy walks into Walgreens, right? He rides his bike into Walgreens and then he has a garbage bag and he fills it up with stuff and then he rides out and the security guard doesn't do anything. And Chesa Boden actually defended the guy.
Who's Chesa Boden?
He's the DA. Yeah. He said it was something like, oh, he was desperate. You know, and he told this story a year ago about how we have to make sure that we don't make unintended consequences happen by arresting these dealers. And they told a story about how one dealer was trafficked here and had to sell drugs to pay off the dealers who were holding his dad hostage.
Jeez.
And I'm like, so you're saying this guy comes here and he's selling drugs on our streets and we have to tolerate it because his dad's in danger? Mm. Like, that makes literally no sense. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to his dad. But how is it that we're going to let him deal drugs, pay off the kidnappers, and rescue his dad? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's bad to stop. That's San Francisco. This is what you get when you get district attorneys much like Cori Bush, who are like these progressive Democrats who are just like, tear it all down.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, ancient history and basically the totalitarian of human history. If someone were to go onto like a farmer's land and take three of their goats and then get caught, and the farmer's like, why'd you take my goats? And they're like, I had to feed my starving family. They would hang that guy. Probably not even a trial. They'd just take him and like put him to death basically for thievery. And we've gone, now we're in such an abundant society that it's like thievery isn't such a big deal, maybe, it seems like.
Well, I feel like we're able to see a lot more of like the extra downsides of theft and robbery, because I was learning the other day they are two totally different things. We can now see what robbery does to, for example, businesses that work in a neighborhood, and we can see everything it does to the, it like disheartens the people that live there and it makes them want to leave. Like this lady riding around like it's freaking Grand Theft Auto, that's insanity. I feel like all we need is a drought for San Francisco to look like literal Mad Max.
It's in a drought. What do you mean?
Well, there you go. This is Mad Max. It's starting in California.
California's in a drought.
You're right. Oh my gosh.
The drought is so bad that they're stopping people from pulling water out of the Delta.
Oh my gosh.
Bro, I gotta be honest. I'm looking at what's going on with the eviction moratorium, the debt ceiling crisis. Those are very, very big. Unemployment just being cranked out till September. Now you're seeing stuff like this. You're seeing more of the defund the police stuff. And I'm like, it is Mad Max. Like it is a controlled collapse almost. It feels like, I want you to picture this in your heads, everybody. There's a giant skyscraper and there is a giant Voltron-like Japanese robot punching buildings. And the building gets knocked over and Joe Biden, who's 70 feet tall, grabs it.
He's got hairy legs.
And he's got hair, very hairy legs. And he's holding up the building as it's collapsing and he's going, come on, man! Oh, but it's too heavy, so it's slowly going down.
It's like the end of a really good movie.
It's going down. And then, this is not the end,
the end of the beginning scene.
It's not a good movie. It's the end of the second, you know how in like sequels that are part of trilogies, it's always a cliffhanger?
Yeah.
That's it. The cliffhanger is Joe Biden can't lift the building back up and he's like, come on, and it goes down.
And then the sequel is it just crushes him. And
that was terrible.
So but what I mean apart. Is it feels like the system is falling over and they're trying to hold it.
Doesn't just feel like it's him.
Yeah, I'm
seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get San Francisco with like people hanging out windows like speeding and ladies holding a gun, I'm like,
well,
let's not be frogs boiling
the
pot.
What did you think was going to happen?
What's the difference between thievery and robbery?
I guess the thievery doesn't require any kind of holding somebody. Yeah. I can just sneak in and take stuff, whereas robbery requires somebody like threaten some kind of physical harm.
Oh, physical harm.
Robbery would give me your stuff.
And that's still
somebody
illegal.
Somebody mugs you.
Yeah. So San Francisco robbery is still illegal, but they're allowing petty thievery.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Either
everything
way, right?
Under $950, the police basically don't respond to because they're misdemeanors or something like that. And so people can walk
What about $200,000 private security forces? Do you think they'll respond if something worth $950 gets stolen from a politician?
Let me tell you about private security. Private security will punch a cop in the face if their client wants them to or needs them to. No joke.
They have lawyers.
We've had people comment in Super Chat talking about this, but it's true. Private security, they do not care. If they have a client, it depends.
Well, they don't have to play politics either.
If you're hiring a $15 an hour private security guard for an event, he's going to be like, I don't care.
He probably doesn't even have a gun.
Right,
but like for Cori Bush, she's hired $70,000 in private security and she's a politician. These are the kind of people that are going to tell the cop to screw off. Yeah. And the cop's going to try and walk through and they're going to block him and be like, you're not getting past us. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Now, for millionaires and billionaires, those are the kind of guys who are like, literally would punch a cop in the
face.
Those
private security
guards
will do whatever they want.
Yep. And they'll like fly the guy out of the country if he does something.
Yeah, they'll get him on a yacht and they'll take him out.
Him and his family. Like
get him 12 miles out to sea or whatever.
Take you to Abu Dhabi.
Yep.
Set you up in a really nice hotel. Nice suite.
The police now don't do that. We should defund them.
I know.
You know, until a police officer does that for me, defund them.
Defund all the cops because they don't provide us with that.
Because they won't take me out to international waters after I've committed a crime.
What if we get like a police and it was like a subscription service? So you get like police plus and police gold.
That's where it is. That's where we're headed to. I mean, if everything becomes private security, what other option do we have? People are just going to start hiring private security and local communities. They'll band together and go, well, the police have been defunded and we need some way to protect ourselves. The millionaires and billionaires have private security. So why don't we pool together as a neighborhood and hire our own private security force? And then they do. And then we end up in Encapistan, which is crazy to me that the left have become the proponents of that.
A problem.
I'm imagining, like, check it out. Like, you, someone breaks in your house and, like, they run off. You call the police and, like, you're a regular working class person and the cop shows up and he's like, I see you're using our basic package, for police service. So, the person's not
you
here anymore.
You get five bullets.
The perpetrator is no longer here. I think you're safe, and we have fulfilled our requirements under the basic plan. Have a nice day, good sir. Feel free to contact us if you'd ever like to upgrade. Then you get someone who's got, like, platinum plus, and the cop shows up, and they show up with a fruit basket.
Shoot their dog.
They don't shoot your dog.
If you only get the basic version, they shoot your dog. But if you get the premium version, they, like, put him down ethically with, like, a nice injection. Oh, but either way, your dog is going to die.
Well, you did call us. It is part of the
package.
You shouldn't have called us.
I
don't
want your dog to
you
die.
You could see like a basic package where they'll apprehend the guy and then let him go. But then there's like the gold package where they apprehend him and they'll actually take him to the courthouse and do the paperwork for you.
For the platinum plus, if you're like a millionaire and you spend like 20 grand a month on the police, they bring the guy to your house. They bring him into the basement where there's chains over a pipe.
Snap.
And they're like, here you go, sir, is part of the platinum plus,
A little bit of DNA for you.
Have fun with that, yeah.
Got a piece of his hair.
He's now going to live in your basement.
I heard that private security agents cost, it's the insurance, to hire those guys. Because like each person's like $1 million in insurance to cover, You can't. The normal person just cannot afford that
stuff. That's what I'm saying. You pull together as a neighborhood.
And if people started to come together, because like technically, if you get a legal weapon, you are your own private security force. But as soon as you start to build a force, I think that you become then liable for insurance.
You know what I really do think though? I think if we did abolish the police, it would basically be the end of the U.S.
Yeah.
Cause it's like you were saying, what would happen is people would either form local militias or local security companies would come in. Now imagine this. You live in, let's call it Hillside, which I'm sure somebody watching lives in Hillside. Let's say there's a Hillside neighborhood and the police are all disbanded and fall apart. And so they say, we definitely need a security force, you know, police for our local community. Yep. So they create one and they all pitch in money and now they have their local Hillside police. Well, next to Hillside is Valleyside and they do the same thing. And then one day a kid from Hillside gets into a fight with the kid in Valleyside, punches him, the kid goes on, hits his head on a curb and dies.
Yeah.
The Hillside kid runs away after the kid dies. And then the Valleyside police are like, we're going to go get him because he came in here. Then the Hillside police are like, you can't come in here. And then you have feuding neighborhoods as if they are like micro nations. If you get rid of the police, I'm not going to agree with the ANCAPs on this one. That's why I said when I talk about abolish the police, it's not for the same reason as a lot of ANCAPs and libertarians, though they have been calling me based for saying it. No, I think what would really happen is you'd have a conflict from regional departments. Mm-hmm. And then what? One police department's like, we got to go to here's a better example. Kid from Hillside goes to Valleyside and steals a $5,000, item and flees with it. And then the Hillside cops are like, you're not coming in our neighborhood. We don't know. We don't care. And we're not investigating that for whatever reason. And the Valleyside cops are like, we're getting our property back for our patrons. And then what?
Then they go in there and they shoot everyone's dog.
Gang war, yeah.
They go in there, everyone wakes up and all the dogs are dead.
All the dogs are dead. They like sneak, they come in their house Mission Impossible from the ceiling, like just to take the dog out.
Take the dog out. Targeted hit.
That's assuming too that these neighborhoods have the same laws, because then you'd start to get even more granular local level law, like it's okay to steal up to $2,000 in Hillside, but in Valleyside, It's a crime.
Yeah.
It's fight on the street in Valleyside.
Look at San Francisco. When they said they're not going to prosecute these crimes, people from all over the area are going there to steal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, freebie. It's what happened in Ferguson. The people who were rioting in Ferguson did not live there. They were smashing windows and stealing stuff.
And it's got to be bleeding over from San Francisco into the surrounding neighborhoods and cities. Hold on.
Barbara Boxer.
Oh, yeah.
Senator from California got mugged by a child. Okay. A kid. We'll say kid because it was a young teenager.
Like an 18, 17 year old or something.
No. Like 15. Is it 14 or 15?
Was he like 6 foot, 180 pounds?
Well, I don't know about
crazy.
That, but apparently he like pushed her, grabbed her phone. I don't know if she fell over, but then he jumped in a car and she was like, why would you do that to a grandma? And I'm just like,
people who you need to be protected from.
Let me tell you
authority.
This, man.
That's crazy.
Have you seen that Purge episode of Rick and Morty?
Yes.
You're not. The rich people think they're safe in the Purge. They will make a world they will truly regret.
Oh, man, I remember that.
What I mean is these elite political class individuals, these Democrats for the most part that want to defund and get rid of all these cops, I am of the firm belief that when they do that, they will absolutely regret it.
Well, 100%. When people say things like, why would somebody do something like this? Okay, there are so many reasons, but did you really think they wouldn't? Did you not understand that there are people out there that do those kinds of things and like will hurt people? And
she defunded the police for him, though, so that he didn't get...
He should have known.
He didn't get profiled.
Well, but hold on. Was there like a social worker nearby when this happened him about his feelings before he mugged her? Yeah, because then it probably wouldn't have happened.
So Scott Adams has this theory that Democrats really don't understand human motivation. And I'm inclined to agree because Democrats seemed inclined to believe that people aren't going to do bad things to other people. And if anything bad happens to, for example, a minority or person in that community, it's because someone else is doing a terrible thing. So it's like, either you believe that everyone's basically good or you think that everyone's basically bad except minorities.
I think I generally agree, but my thing with Scott Adams is I just don't take political advice from cartoonists.
Well, that's fair. I appreciate that. Nor should you, right?
No. But, he's making fun of himself.
Yeah.
But I am a cartoonist. But no, I think that's true. They don't understand human motivation. And if you go to many of the thinkers that were held up by the left or influenced the left historically, like Rousseau, who think that humans are fundamentally good, you get into this place where the only way someone could possibly do something bad is if they were engineered by society to commit the wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I got bad news.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Spiffy's is closed.
Oh, no.
Spiffy's is closed,
that's
guys.
That's just news to me.
This is direct evidence. The collapse is here. Man, the country has fallen.
You know what else is messed up? The dairy. So there's this Dairy Queen in Indiana I used to go to, and they don't have dilly bars there anymore.
What?
Oh, my God.
You're telling me that the West isn't collapsing.
This is Mad Max.
Check out the story from TimCast.com. Diner closed. Closes. Fine. Diner closes. Fined $400,000 for violating COVID-19 rules. Wait, what? Diner closes? I think they got a typo in the headline. Copy editor, guys. What are you doing, TimCast.com? A diner that was fined $400,000 for violating COVID has closed permanently. The Washington Eatery was once referred to as the flashpoint for COVID rebellion by local news outlets. They unfortunately shut down. They said it was due to staffing shortages and food delivery problems, not the fines.
Huh.
So it wasn't the fines.
Interesting. Okay. I'm sure the fines had to contribute something to it.
No. Or they were just ignoring them.
Yeah. Well, okay. Fair enough.
But I jokingly say, oh, Spiffy is close. It's a 50-year-old diner.
Wow.
In
that
D.C.
That sucks.
50-year-old. Yeah, so look, this is just one example of all the businesses that we've seen destroyed because of what's been going on in the economy. And it's fascinating. If you look at Civics, their polling, Democrats right now actually think the economy is good.
What? Wait, nope. How could you genuinely think the economy is good right now?
I'm confused.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Let's see this article.
Now here we are not understanding human motivation.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
how could you think this economy is good?
Seems like a human
thing.
Let
me see if I can pull this up.
Oh, shit.
And I don't think it's fair to say necessarily that they're like saying it's the best. Right now, 36% of people in general think that the economy is fairly good.
Huh.
But hold on. Let's do it by Democrat only.
Oh my.
58% of Democrats think the economy is doing good right now. 20% say fairly bad. 9% unsure. 7% say very good.
Well, but that's the kind of economy that they want. Businesses are shutting down. People aren't able to provide services to the public. They're not able to keep their door open. But a bunch of people who aren't working are getting money from the government.
Look.
To them, that's a good economy.
Hold on. I think I have an answer to this. If you switch to Republican, 40% say very bad, 38% say fairly bad, and 17% say fairly good. Among independent voters, 33% say fairly bad, 29% say very bad, and 29% say fairly good. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what this is. It's people who watch CNN.
You're
a Democrat, and you're sitting there watching CNN with drool pouring out of your mouth, like, and they're like, everything is great, the economy's recovered, and you're like,
it's insanity. It's insanity.
Meanwhile, Republicans are like, my 401k is not doing so well.
I'm buying gas.
I'm out of work right now. Like, I might be out of work and other people I know might be out of work, but the economy's doing well because the media told me it is. And you know, we're getting checks from the government right now and that can last forever. And we're going to keep being locked down because variant after variant is going to pop up and they're never going to let us go back to our jobs until we get the 7th and 8th and 9th dose of the vaccine. But no, yeah, things are great. The economy's doing fine. It's on a rebound.
The result of the way that the public school teaches kids zero about economics. I mean, I learned about money, dimes, and nickels in first grade, and I think that was the last they ever taught me about economics until college. I had to take an economics course.
We had banking in my school.
Oh, we had like minor stuff, but I didn't understand like compound interest. I didn't understand the way that works. If you look at the numbers and you know compound interest, you can see that it's not good.
We had in second grade they opened up bank accounts for kids.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
We also had mock presidential elections.
That's
like
great.
But I think that might have been a polling thing, like to see what the kids would say. And so like I remember being a little kid and they had like one of those old dot matrix computers and they had everyone in the line and they were like, pick who you want to be president. And I was like, Ralph Perot. No, I'm serious.
That's when Tim started being a contrarian. But somebody had to put that in a hit piece.
Like,
no,
awesome.
for real. I guess I vaguely remember this. I'm probably getting it wrong because I was probably like, I don't know how old I was, 6 or something.
Jeez.
Or 7. And it, because it what they were trying to do was to see what kids would say and it showed what their parents were thinking.
Mm.
And so, you know, my parents, I think, voted for Bill Clinton, but for some reason I was like,
yeah, I tried to get my dad to vote for Ross Perot. I was like, I wonder if he voted for Clinton.
I don't know.
Vote for Perot. Vote for Perot. I couldn't vote.
Got those ears.
But the economy's on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're watching this controlled collapse of everything. So we were just talking about this previously, but you combine this with abolition of police, defunding of police. You combine this with Joe Biden defying the Supreme Court and just threatening people with jail. Mm-hmm. For not, you know.
Well, this is a consequence of having a system where the people who make all of the decisions will still have firearms from their private security when they ban your guns, will still have private security when they defund the police, will still be getting their paychecks from their corporate donors when they shut the economy down and your business gets destroyed. They face absolutely no consequences for making decisions that ruin life for the average American.
I think we are in a simulation.
Oh.
Why is that?
Because they're just, they're like, whoever is running it, they're like, increase the difficulty. are they reacting? No. Increase the difficulty again. did they start reacting? No. Okay. Crank it up to 12. How many? 12? Oh, geez. They're still not doing anything.
Like, it feels like they're just slowly turning up the knob on the pressure, and people are just, like, okay with it.
Like, no, turn the difficulty up, but tell them the economy is doing really good, and see how many of them actually believe that.
Well, that's part of the difficulty. I mean, it's like propaganda, telling everyone's fine. Yeah. But they're saying things like staff shortages, food shortages, gas shortages, and it's becoming impossible to run your business.
Dude, what a bungling of this to give people unemployment that they will lose if they take their job back. In a lot of countries, they would just, companies that had to let people go for COVID, the government would pay the people that they had let go because they were still working there. And then when they were able to go back, they would just go back to the job. They would keep getting paid now by the job again.
They're creating an addiction to government.
Yeah. Now, yes, now people, yeah, if they go back to work, they lose their government paycheck.
And
their government insurance. You know, it's unemployment insurance, which you get taxed on for some reason. It's an insurance payout.
You're getting the equivalent of $16 an hour not to work. Mm. And you're looking at all these jobs and you're like, but even if I take it, I lose this.
Dude, and
I'm
going to
ride this out.
Those people have to pay taxes on that unemployment. And I don't know if they're even planning for that. I mean, how can you when you're living paycheck to paycheck? Yeah.
You know what I find remarkable is that we had Vosh on the show just, you know, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. He was in favor. He's like, I'm in favor of UBI. Yeah. And I'm like, have you not read the news, good sir? Like, you know, with respect, you know, I'm glad he came on and had a good conversation, but I disagree with him. Like, have you not read the news or watched what's going on with because we're giving these people money? Yeah. And you hear this propaganda, the anti-work on Reddit. It's like one of the, you know what's funny is like Reddit's got a lot of lazy people, I tell you this. Like,
not Reddit.
No, not Reddit. They're like, we shouldn't have to work. It's like, okay, invent replicators and I got no problem with that. Yeah. Like, you can sit around and just say, the tea, Earl Grey, hot, and then you don't gotta work. But everything else requires work because of, I don't know, the second law of thermodynamics. Mm. But anyway, we're in UBI. This is it. I said this. I remember I was hanging out when I was on Joe Rogan. He asked me, like, what do you think about UBI? And I was like, I think people wouldn't want to work. Mm-hmm. And then you get these leftists saying, like, oh, that's not true. Actually, you know, my favorite question is like, Ian. I mean, I'm sorry, Seamus.
Yes,
you're not. What, you, how many people do you know play the guitar?
Answer this one.
How many what?
How many people do you know play the guitar?
Play the guitar? Oh man, that's a good question. I went to an art school, Tim. So you're looking at a disproportionate sample here. But probably, like, let's say I know 5 people who play guitar.
And how many of them are bad at guitar?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't ask my friends to play for me. I'm just like, I'm sure you're great. Like, I just don't even ask
them. How many do you think are like?
I think, here's the thing, the only people I know who play guitar are people I know who play because, like, I've been to their shows and stuff, so they're decent. They're good.
So
I know plenty of people who are bad at guitar.
Most people know, like, everybody plays some kind of instrument to some degree. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but like a lot of people. And so most people will be like, oh, I know a few people who play the guitar and how many are bad. I know a few of them are pretty bad. Yeah. Do you think the people who are bad would stop working and try to become famous musicians?
Oh, I could see it happening. Yeah.
I know some of them, especially
when they're younger. Yeah.
I grew up in Chicago. I knew tons of people who had well-off parents who are like, I'm going to make music. And I'm like, bro, you're not good at this.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not.
Like, you're not going to be a celebrity doing this. And that's the thing about UBI. You give someone money and to not produce. So here's what it basically means. You're giving someone money, which is access to extract from the system.
Yes.
And then instead of putting anything meaningful back in, they make bad music.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so this is interesting because you can take it a step further. A lot of people want to have, you know, a YouTube channel or a Twitch channel. They want to find some way to make money with social media.
And when you're starting, you can hit a point where, you know, maybe you're able to make a couple hundred dollars a month. That doesn't necessarily mean you're cut out for the industry. That doesn't mean this is going to be something that'll turn into a full-time career. But that UBI plus a couple hundred dollars a month from whatever you're doing on social media could push you over the edge and actually be enough for you to live off of. So it gives you an unrealistic idea of what your prospects are. And social media is one example. But there are all sort of arenas where you might be able to make a little bit of money, and that combined with the stipend you're getting from the government could be enough to live off of. But that's not where your labor is most productively used by the majority of people giving to and receiving from the economy. So you're actually doing a net disservice to the country overall and to the economy overall. Exactly.
Right. So I my view of this is like, okay, here's an option. Easy access to grants for young people. You turn 18, you can now go to the local grant center, which is very easy to go to. Present your little pamphlet and be like, here's what I want to do, and then request a certain amount of money to engage in that project. Because one of the issues that I hear a lot from the UBI crowd is, think about all the talented people who are stuck working a crappy job because if they quit, they lose their apartment. They'd be homeless. And I'm like, that's true. There are a lot of young people of great talent. I know growing up people who are insanely good at skateboarding. And I was like, man, these guys got to go pro.
Yeah.
Sorry, they didn't have the sponsors. Yeah, they didn't have the means to film. And they had to work. Otherwise, they'd lose their job or they'd lose their apartment. And I was like, if this guy was just given a little bit of money so he could skate, we'd have another great pro. So how about instead of the worst of both worlds, we do the best of both worlds? You got to work to pay your bills. And at a certain age, you can say, like, here's my plan. I'm a young person, and then get a grant. And that's it. That's your chance.
America. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It's complicated, though, because you have to ask the question, even if there are many talented people in a particular field who don't have an opportunity to try to enter it, you have to ask how many people with that particular talent can the economy support. So let's say everyone who's good at skateboarding is able to get this grant where they can become a professional skateboarder. I mean, realistically, how many professional skateboarders can our economy
Irrelevant.
Even support? You know, I don't think
we're
so.
We're not offering an infinite or indefinite amount of money. It's here's a grant to run your business. Mm-hmm. And they have to have a plan. They come to you with a plan saying, I would like a grant for this particular project.
For sure. So it sounded to me like the point that you were making was, we'll tap into all sorts of talent we haven't gotten before. But my concern is, we'll give a lot of money to people and they'll end up with a lot of debt and they're not really going to end up contributing.
Why would they end up in debt?
Well, because they don't end up successfully taking... Oh, a grant. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about $100,000. I'm talking about a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
So it's like they can take less... They can invest some money into something. Basically saying, like, can we invest in young people instead of indebting young people and putting them in colleges that just grind them to dirt?
Yeah. Well, one of the weird things is, I'm not entirely sure how I feel about a grant, but it is very strange that almost, you know, any young person can go get a loan to go off to college, even if the degree isn't going to pay off for them. And it's obvious based on the degree they're choosing. But if you go in with a really solid business plan at 18, the likelihood that you're going to get a loan is extremely low.
That's insane. That's totally backwards.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right.
And so part of the reason that we have the tuition crisis that we have and the student debt crisis is because, this is not just my personal opinion, I think this is something that's borne out by all of the most basic rules of economics, and if you need a citation, the National Bureau for Economic Research has said this is the case, but colleges respond to an increase in the availability of student loans by increasing tuition costs.
Yep.
I mean, so now we have absurdly expensive college costs because the government came in and said, hey, let's help people go to college. Well, it turns out all they did was make it more difficult for people to go. And I don't know if it was necessarily a plan on their part. I don't think it was. I just think they screw up whenever they try to help.
And then college is basically indentured servitude. Here's the money for your opportunity, and then you got to pay it back, and then most people can't, and they get mad, and they demand communism, and then I got to pay the bill for it.
I think what's even more insidious is many of them can pay it back. I think even a majority, but the problem is the people who can pay it back. I mean, look, there is an economic hierarchy in terms of who is able to be accepted into college in the first place. So If you grew up in a rough neighborhood where you weren't able to get the kind of education that someone who went to a decent private school or a decent public school as far as public schools go in the suburbs went to, you're going to be less likely to get into school, right? So when we forgive student debt, oftentimes what it does is it redistributes wealth from working people who never had the opportunity to go to college and towards people who started out in the upper class and then went to college who are no longer being expected to pay off the debts, which they voluntarily incurred.
Right, so this is what I actually responded to a leftist with this. And I was on Twitter. I thought I was going to get just like all these leftists screaming at me because they're like, Kim Paul, man. Somebody said something like, it was a tweet about, you know, when you say we shouldn't pay back someone, you know, forgive student debt because you had to pay it off, you're basically saying they should suffer because you did.
No.
And my response was, I just don't think it's right to make working class people pay off the debts of the highest income earners in the country.
Exactly.
And people actually, that's a good point.
Yeah.
College degree, people with college degrees earn higher salaries on average than people without them. Mm-hmm. Why should working class people pay off the debts of the highest income earners? We are funneling money to the top tier? No way, dude. Do the inverse. How about we make the college students with their high incomes pay their fair share? Pay your fair share.
Well, I mean, often those people end up going into the 1% and paying an exorbitant amount in taxes, but
well, the 1% is still 1%
or top
10%.
Well, again, the top 10%. I mean, the higher income earners pay the majority of taxes.
How about these people who took out student loans pay their fair share?
Yes.
They got free money.
Yeah.
And now they want working poor people, the proletariat, to pay their bills
off? No, it's actually true.
Pay your fair share, college debt holders.
You should define
fair. No, it's actually true.
Bernie Sanders, the buzzword, fair share.
I'll tell you what fair share is. Fair share is, and to be fair, I'm not talking about exorbitant interest rates that compound. They can't pay off.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
I think the interest is unfair.
Yes, I agree. We're
compound, because they weren't talking about
it. My stance has always been, we can stop the interest rates and say, pay back your remaining principal.
Yeah.
That's your fair share. But when what they're saying right now is, Joe Biden could snap his fingers and erase all federal debt for college students. Why doesn't he do it? Because that would be you not paying your fair share, diluting the economy, and it would be an invisible tax on the working class.
Yeah.
So you got free money, you got to spend it, you pay your fair share. Now, hold on. I agree with you. The interest rates are insane, wrong, and broken.
100%.
That we get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's insane that you could charge interest on a loan that's guaranteed. I understand some small amount to hedge against inflation, but the idea of people.
Like 1% over the lifetime or something.
Yeah. Or, something adequate to offset the value that will be lost through inflation, but not so much that you're able to profit off. The idea of like profiting off of a guaranteed loan.
Or even
loan,
just
to me,
like, if you take out 10 grand, you owe an extra $100. Like, look. If we're trying to invest in young people to be better able and better capable, then I think we can give out straight loans with inflationary interest. Mm. But at a certain point, you should be able to pay back just the principal. Mm. The interest rates are insane. They compound. It gets higher. I hear too many stories from people who are like, I took out $40,000 and now I owe 80. And it's like,
that's completely insane. Right, that's completely insane. It shouldn't.
I think if you like, you're out of work, it should just stop. Mm. Like, I don't know, man. The system's broken. And I'll tell you this. Before we even get into any of that stuff, I'm like, we need to you know what? I'll tell you this. Here's my compromise. I will personally accept a greater amount of debt to be erased outside of interest if it also means we either seize the endowments from the universities or we outright end the college loan debt pipeline. That whole thing has to stop.
Well, I mean, no, they absolutely have to stop federally guaranteeing student loans. That's the only way it comes back. Well, let me actually be clear. There's going to be a bubble at some point, right? Mm-hmm. The bubble's going to pop at some point, I should say. We're already in a bubble. This can't sustain itself forever. But it's just clear that eventually they're going to have to stop federally subsidizing these loans and certainly making the problem worse that they do subsidize them, so they have to stop. It's going to pop either way, though.
Agreed. Let's circle back.
Sure.
Circle back.
We're going to
circle back to the COVID lockdowns in this business and the economy, because we have this story that I find particularly interesting. Now, in the previous segment, we're talking about a business that accrued $400,000 in fines over violating these COVID restrictions. Now with the vaccine mandates that are popping up, well, for the most with private businesses, and now in New York from a public place, we got the story from timcast.com. Boston's Democrat mayor compares vaccine passports to papers required during slavery and Jim Crow.
Interesting.
That's bold. Democrat Boston Mayor Kim Janey has compared vaccine passports to the papers required slavery and Jim Crow. The first black person to serve as mayor of the city also compared vaccine passports to demands that former President Obama show his birth certificate during the birtherism scandal. I mean, I agree. I'm not going to pretend to know about, you know, these horrible things about throughout history. But what I say I agree is that it is an overbearing demand from the state on regular people to implement these things to the extent that you can't go to a store, you can't go to a bar, you can't go to a music venue or something. Mm-hmm. Now, in New York, I don't think they're saying – I think you can go to stores still. They're saying indoor activities. But as far as I'm concerned, if you mandate a vaccine for one thing – let's say they were like, you need a vaccine to go to the hot dog stand on 7th Street. You've mandated vaccines. It's over. As far mm-hmm. as I'm concerned, because you've hit at a core function for many people. I don't care who or how many. So when they say if you want to go out to eat, you need to have your vaccine and vaccine card – New York is mandated vaccines, period. There's no other reason to argue about it. That's wrong. We saw that with the Offspring drummer, Pete. I think Pete Pratt is his name. Mm-hmm. He's got Guillain-Barre syndrome.
I think so, yeah.
And so he couldn't get it. He couldn't get the vaccine. And now he's kicked out of the band. Is that what we're going to create? We're going to create this medical segregation
actually kicked out of the band?
Yes.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
What?
He went to the doctor. He had a young age. He developed Guillain-Barre syndrome, which is... It's an extremely rare side effect for people when they get some vaccines, and it emerges for other reasons too, but it can be a side effect. It is a side effect of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and there are many doctors who advise against getting the vaccine if you have this syndrome, which he did. Out of the band. You're gone.
It's insanity.
No,
isn't that don't we have violations of like the Americans with Disabilities Act? Mm-hmm. Can't we be like, if you are experiencing this and it is limiting to you, like we protect you in that regard?
Well, I think at this point it becomes very clear that it's all about having you bend the knee, if anyone was unaware. If a person is disabled and has a very good medical reason for not getting vaccinated, and your response is to kick them out because they haven't taken your preferred route for handling this situation, it's obvious that what you're interested in is submission. It's not about public health.
Let me pull up the story we have from the Daily Mail. More than half of unvaccinated Americans believe COVID-19 shots are more dangerous than the virus itself, poll finds. Huh. Over half of unvaccinated Americans, 53%, believe that COVID-19 vaccines pose a higher health risk than the virus itself. The view is especially prominent among Americans who say they're definitely not getting the vaccine, with 75% believing the vaccine is more dangerous. In fact, the virus is far more dangerous. Out of 243,000 Americans who died of COVID since January 2021, only 1,300 have been unvaccinated. Still, the Indian Delta variant is persuading some to get their shots, with 22% of unvaccinated respondents saying the variant was a vaccination motivator. I don't know the full percentage numbers, but the virus is far more dangerous.
Well, you said died from COVID, right? You read that phrase, from COVID?
Died of COVID.
Of COVID. How many people have died of COVID?
Let's see. Article? Out of 243,000 Americans who have died since January 2021, only 1,300 have been unvaccinated.
So
what?
200?
That's not correct.
I don't know these numbers, but they're saying that 230,000 people died of COVID. I've seen reports that people had COVID in their system and died of a motorcycle accident or some other thing with COVID. They died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID. But that there was
wrong. That's wrong. They wrote the story wrong. The story it's they did it wrong.
Oh,
out of 243,000 COVID deaths, later on they fix it. Only 1,300 have occurred in vaccinated Americans. The top said have been unvaccinated, as if to imply the vaccine was more dangerous.
What?
That's Daily Mail. Get an editor.
I'm nervous when people say that we're in lockdowns because we're in shutdowns. And I'm nervous when people say that people died of COVID when they died with a comorbidity.
We're not in a shutdown right now, Ian.
Well, over the last year in 2020, we had gone through periods of shutdown, and I heard people say lockdown. They like that word, that buzzword.
We did lockdown.
It's a lock. They want it to be
New
bad.
New York did lockdown.
But there were lots of instances of shutdown that people were calling lockdown. Let's not make it worse than it seems. We don't have to make it seem worse than it is.
I understand.
We're phrasing. It's subtle little language twist that people do to control this narrative right now.
You're saying tell people to accept that they're barred from leaving their homes or going to their jobs.
No, but I'm saying
that's a lockdown.
If an area gets shut down, don't say that it's locked down by lock and key. just, it's just, oh, businesses aren't open. That doesn't mean you can't walk around outside. So, it's not a lockdown state.
Ian, that's called apologizing for authoritarianism.
No, if we say that we have lockdowns and we keep saying it, then the government will put them into place and people will passively let it happen because they're used to hearing it.
We did have lockdowns.
We had shutdowns for the most part.
No, we had lockdowns.
The United States. We had maybe had a few instances of things being locked down, but for the most part, the United States was very leniently shut down as opposed to Australia. Massively locked down.
Like you're saying, you're drawing, where are you drawing the line on
where the police don't let people go outside.
I mean,
they're arresting people for walking around.
That happened in the U.S.
Very, very rarely, though. For the most part.
But we had lockdowns.
There were some instances of it. It was very rare. And, and I argue it violates the Constitution of the United States.
It's semantics. It's shut down, lockdown. What's the difference?
It's because if you tell people that we're locked down for all of 2020, then when they actually start locking it down, people will be used to it because they thought it was already happening.
Well, I'll tell you this. Look, man, obviously that Daily Mail story was wrong because it contradicted itself, which is why I always say talk to your doctor about what's right for you. You know, and there's another good reason, too, because I got a feeling like whatever ends up happening in the long run, people are going to come back and they're going to be like, Tim said X or Y. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be the person who's going to be responsible for your health decision. So by all means, you could be in the comments right now saying Tim is dumb. I would appreciate it. Great, because I don't want anybody putting the responsibility on me for your health decisions.
Yeah.
Nah, Seamus, you go talk to your doctor.
That's I have a bunch, a whole bunch. We're buddies.
Seamus,
we have conversations.
Exactly. He was like, I'm going to do everything
you say. I went to my doctor,
say.
And I had a hidden camera when I was talking to Tim, and I showed it to my doctor. I was like, how much can we get from him? Like, how much money can we get from this guy?
Seamus went to the vitamin.
And he's like, you should have talked to your lawyer. Talk to your lawyer about how much money you can get from Tim Pool after you show him.
Seamus went into the kitchen where we have all the vitamins, and he just grabbed, like, C, D, A, multivitamin. Yeah. He's just chugging them, and he's like, it's healthy. Tim said so. And I'm like, no, Seamus, stop.
That's true, yeah.
So here's the interesting thing, though. They say that that half of people, let me see exactly what they said. They said more than half of unvaccinated Americans believe that they're more dangerous than the virus itself.
Well, that makes sense.
So I want to pull up the story. This is from this is from UPMC, yeah. University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon University. Researchers identified groups hesitant about COVID-19 vaccine. This is the most fascinating to me. The study says the largest decrease in hesitancy between January and May by education group was in those with a high school education or less. Hesitancy held constant in the most educated group, those with a PhD. By May, PhDs were the most hesitant group.
What?
While vaccine hesitancy decreased across virtually all racial groups, Black and Pacific Islanders had the largest decreases, joining Hispanics and Asians at having lower vaccine hesitancy than whites in May. Why? I have no answer for that.
Well, the data. I mean, if you listen to, you know, Peak Prosperity, Chris Martinson, if you listen to Brett Weinstein and Pierre Corey.
That's wrong.
They're scientists that just fish data, and the data speaks for itself.
No, it literally doesn't. We had Chris Martinson on the show, and with all due respect, he's a very smart man. He's got a PhD in, I think, in toxicology. Mm-hmm. And when we talked with him, he said, here's 53 studies on ivermectin, and then I Googled it and found a whole bunch more saying the exact opposite. The data doesn't speak for itself.
We'll have to go into it on the after show. There's some studies that I've seen that have just been mind-blowing.
Bro, we literally, I pulled up studies, and there's studies that say these things, these treatments do nothing. And there are studies saying they do some things. None of these treatments are FDA approved. The point is the data does not speak for itself.
Well, I disagree. I think this is why PhDs are among the most hesitant, is because it's data heavy. It comes down to the data. I mean, you gotta look at what was polio doing to people. It was crippling children. The data was showing that people were, little kids were like losing their ability to walk permanently. That's like screaming data. So we haven't seen that kind of data with this. I mean, there's been a lot of illness.
600 and what are we at? 620,000 dead?
That had died with COVID. And when they phrase it of COVID, that's kind of a manipulation, because a lot of it is comorbid and people have 94%. Obesity and they die with like a heart failure, but they had COVID in their system. So it gets logged.
COVID is like the you know, COVID pulls the pin out and then the train goes off the rails. You know what I mean? So it's like people who may have survived with comorbidities don't when they get
COVID. It's tough to say. It's that's a situation where you don't know what it would have been without it because it didn't have it.
What the data is saying.
Well, you don't know if they hadn't gotten COVID, what would have happened.
The point is,
they had gotten COVID.
I hear from people all the time. They're like, hey, I read this about that, this, that, or otherwise. And I'm like, I'm going to read that. And then I find conflicting information. from like legitimate sources. And I'm like, I can't draw an honest conclusion. Go talk to your doctor. Cause I, when Chris Martinson was here and he said 53 studies, I said, great, let's pull them up. And I pulled them up. And I'm like, that's really fascinating. And then I Googled other studies to see if there was a contradiction. Sure enough, I found like many. And I'm like, I asked him, you know, these studies say the opposite. And he goes, oh, well, that study was bad. And I'm like, yeah. How are you going to come to me and tell me this study is good, this study is bad, when they're both studies, okay? I'm a layman. And I can respect him because I think he's a smart guy and he knows more about it than I do. And I can respect Brett Weinstein. But then there are many other doctors that I see writing stories who don't appear overtly political who are saying the inverse.
I suppose it's just I've seen Chris Martinson, Pierre Corey, Brett Weinstein. Brett's not a doctor, not a virologist. He's a biologist. But he's a very smart scientist. You know, Pierre Corey is a virologist. Is Chris Martinson a virologist?
Yeah, but bro, what I'm telling you is if you only watch one thing and then say that must be true, the data doesn't speak for itself when you can pull up contradictory information.
Okay, maybe yeah, you're right. Data doesn't speak for itself, but I did get this from reputable sources. That's the reason I'm...
And I got contradictory information from reputable sources as well.
Which sources?
We pulled them up on the show. You were here.
How can we go right now on this? I remember touching on it. I don't remember, like,
I literally,
who did these studies, who paid these people to do these studies.
You see, that's the problem. When people say, well, your organization is no good because of this, that, or, well, but yeah, but your organization, I'm like, dude, that means literally nothing to me.
But the problem is some organizations will do studies specifically to derive a specific result.
And then for political reasons, people make observations or determinations or trust. I try my best to avoid doing that. So that's what, this is what guides most of my work, is that if I see some conservative guy come out and say that, you know, you gotta buy your gold, and then a Democrat guy comes out and says, you gotta buy silver, I'll be like, well, we got two contradictory people giving contradictory advice. Can I find source information to vet which one is better? Hey, I looked it up, gold's worth more.
So when it comes to these studies, you see conflicting studies, do you just dismiss them all, or do you go deeper and try and figure out which studies are right, or which ones are more accurate?
So the issue is, when you look at a study, what can you really determine about it? There's a doctor named Dr. John Smith or whatever his name is. And I'm like, okay, so I can look him up. And then I find a LinkedIn for a guy and I'm like, okay. And I look up, here's his university. And then I find a Dr. Jane Doe and I look her up and I'm like, well, they both disagree with each other. I can't make a determination. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to tell people?
Right.
If there's conflicting information out
there?
Same
when they say buy gold, buy silver. You have to kind of do some deep research to figure out which study is legit.
There are people who want to believe one or the other, and they may have reason to. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying I haven't been able to find anything strong. And so therein lies the big issue. It's why I don't definitively come out and say, you must do X or Y. I say, talk to someone you trust in the medical field, because when I see these things, you know, when I talk to these, like Chris Martinson, he's on the show twice now. I'm like, I pulled up a study that he said was positive for alternate treatments. And then I Googled the study and found another paper that said the methodology was flawed. It was not a good study because of these reasons. Then I pulled up a study saying these alternative treatments were ineffective. And he said to me, oh, but those studies are flawed because they're, you know, and I'm, okay, dude.
Right.
With all due respect.
Was it one of those things are ineffective because we never tested them for efficacy?
No,
they'll do that sometimes.
I'm saying we sat here, we have the episode, it's on timcast.com, where I was like, I can pull up something saying literally what you just said in the other direction.
They would say that about aspartame. They'd say, there's no evidence aspartame has any links to cancer because we never studied aspartame.
That's totally irrelevant to what we're talking about.
That's medical logic sometimes.
I'm talking about fact finding and determining, you know, to the best of our abilities, truth. And you can argue that you trust or don't trust a particular political faction or those who advocate for a certain direction. I don't think that's good enough. I want proof. Now, there's a good reason, I think, not to trust the media, but we have a big issue now when the CDC comes out and says, here's a list of things. And I'm like, okay, well, I do have a personal bias against government for a lot of reasons. But if I can't disprove it, that puts me in a difficult position.
So why do you think that it's mostly PhD people that are...
That's why I said I have no answer. Yeah,
it's hard to know also because you don't know what their PhDs are in.
Right. It could be like, I think, who said this before? Was it you were saying, like, it could be like feminist dance?
Yeah,
class.
I was gonna say, like, it could be like a PhD in lesbian poetry. I have no idea.
Right. So we have no idea. That's why I say it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing a lot of people highlight that as if that's evidence of something. And I'm like, it's just a group of people. Maybe they're activists who hate Donald Trump because they're in universities.
And how many people was polled here? It was like 2,000 people?
Well,
you're also, you're, doing this is data from people who are saying that they were already against getting the vaccine. It's probably, I mean, it could very well just be the case that if someone has a PhD, their opinion was more likely to be backed up with statistics, again, whether they're ones you would agree with or disagree with in the first place, and so that locks them into it more firmly.
Or they're more likely to be stodgy and stubborn, and thinking they're smarter than
exactly.
everybody.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think that plays into it as well.
I'm a doctor, you can't change my mind.
And that's exactly part of why I said statistics, whether you would agree with them or disagree with them. I think people with PhDs, people whose brains work more quickly, are more conventionally intelligent, tend to be a bit more prideful, and they're also better at convincing themselves of things.
Here's what I'm saying.
To me, a PhD is just a Twitter check mark in real life. I don't really trust it all that much.
But here's what I'm saying. All the information we present, you can take into consideration however you see fit. But if I can't make a determination, I'm not going to make one.
So your point.
I need sources before I come out and say something. And, you know, I get things wrong every so often or jump the gun. It happens. I'm far from perfect. But I try to avoid things if I can't prove it.
Your point about studies is interesting because I feel like they do this every other month with dietary stuff. Mm. Fats are bad. Fats are good. Use this oil. Yeah. Don't use this oil. This is going to kill you. You're going to get cancer from coffee. Coffee is good for your heart. Coffee cures depression for women. Yeah. What am I supposed to think? So I think that in the end really boils down to one, individual rights, and two, common sense. And like, I don't even know what to tell you. It's not like a whole read the studies thing because you're not going to understand all of it.
Talk to your doctor.
There you go.
Talk to your lawyer. And you know who you should, which doctor I don't think you should talk to is Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci.
We got the story.
That's a nice guy.
We got the story from Reuters. U.S. plans to give extra COVID-19 shots to at-risk Americans, Fauci says. That is the third shot for people who are in at-risk groups. If you are immunocompromised, people like cancer survivors, those who are HIV positive, they are saying that they are trying to rush through approval for your third shot. Now, over in Israel, we have this from Voice of America. After another COVID spike, Israel launches third vaccine dose. They say Israel has become the first country to distribute a third dose of the COVID vaccine, offering the extra jab to anyone over 60. Hmm. Israeli health experts say the effectiveness of the current vaccine declines with time, and the third shot will serve as a booster. The move comes as virus rates in Israel are on the increase. Now, there's this crazy viral video, which they say is a report from Israel's Channel 13, where they say in this tweet, which I've not confirmed the translation, that the hospitalization rates are overwhelmingly those who have been vaccinated. And Israel is saying we are not finding this to be effective. Now, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, well, and also we have to know what percentage of the population is vaccinated too, because if an overwhelming majority of the population is vaccinated and an overwhelming majority are in the hospital and it's proportional, then we could say, well, it doesn't seem to be working in this instance. But if a majority are in the hospitals, whereas an overwhelming majority is vaccinated, then it seems it would be working to some extent, or you could make that argument. So we don't really know.
They say an Israeli study showed effectiveness of the COVID vaccine declined from 95% to 80%.
Oh, wow.
Or even less against the Delta variant. Wow. Neither the U.S. nor the EU has yet recommended a third shot, but most Israeli doctors say they do not believe it will do any harm. Now, we had a story we pulled up the other day from TimCast.com that shows, I think it was like Pfizer and AstraZeneca to be like 92 and 96% effective against the Delta variant. Mm-hmm. So all I can do is tell you this. Talk to your doctor. Because I don't, you know, I know if for those on the live show, like right now, it's more repetitive, but in the segments, like, you know, so we have to say it. Because I don't know what this means. I really, really don't. Israel is making a lot of claims that a lot of people in the U.S. are shocked to hear.
Very interesting.
And don't know if they want to believe, to be completely honest, that you know, what Israel is saying about the effectiveness. So here's why I bring this up. Not only is that happening, but the World Health Organization is calling for a temporary moratorium on vaccine booster shots because they want to prioritize global distribution of the vaccine to poorer nations.
Interesting.
Okay, so I have no idea. I can tell you this. It sounds like humans run around like these organizations are like chickens with their head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, though? Do you cut a chicken's head off? It runs around?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I mean, you're the one with chickens, Tim.
I'm not
cutting their heads off?
I know.
He just doesn't want to admit it on stream because, you know, Petey's going to get it.
That's true. My family raised
chickens.
He'll
get canceled. Really?
Yeah, it's true, though. Don't get canceled. My family raised chickens, and yes, this is the thing that actually happens.
They run around when their heads are cut off?
Yeah, it's a reflex.
Wow.
I never questioned that.
No, of course not. Nor should you.
I'm curious. I am curious what percentage of the population in Israel is vaccinated. What percentage of new cases did they say were vaccinated people?
Well, there's a tweet, and I don't speak Hebrew, so I can't really confirm that anyway. You know, but people are claiming that there's a doctor who says it's like the overwhelming majority of the COVID patients in the hospitals have been vaccinated. And
that is fascinating, yeah.
But I can't confirm any of that stuff. Yeah. All I know is that Fauci is rushing out a third shot here in America for people who are immunocompromised. The eviction moratorium was illegally, a new one was illegally put in place, and the unemployment checks are going out. So it smells like a lockdown. I guess, you know, they say if it walks like a lockdown, you know, acts like a lockdown and sounds like a lockdown, then it's probably a lockdown,
probably
right?
Lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hearing from Reuters, their numbers say that the number of doses in Israel administered has been 11 million. And so if that's at two doses per person, that's 63.2% of the country being vaccinated.
It's a little bit higher than the U.S. I think the U.S.'s rate was 49% or something like that.
The United States' rate of vaccinations? Well, yeah. I have some data here saying that they asked adults, and they found that 7 in 10 adults said they have already gotten it or are getting it as soon as possible. So something like 67% have already gotten it. And
Australia.
3 more percent say they're going to get it as soon as possible.
Australia's like 18%.
Why is
They've
that?
They've gotten vaccinated?
Yeah.
I think they just don't trust their government.
I guess.
I don't know. It could also, Australian is not as, I think Australia's population is much more spread out.
Mm.
I think maybe if your government is not treating you very well, then you're probably not going to be too happy. Okay, no, it's higher right now.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, fully vaccinated. 16%.
Whoa.
Wow, that's low.
Yikes.
Wow. Well, at least one dose is 34.2%.
Wow. That's so bad.
Where?
In Australia.
So that's of the population?
Yeah, of the population, 16.3% are fully vaccinated.
Wow, that's really, really low.
It's abysmal. Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? That's like the most heavily cracked down country on earth
right
now.
That's probably why.
It could be because it's heavily cracked down upon it. I also think it's the population density. Mm-hmm. It is really, it's something
sparsely populated.
Yeah, sparsely populated. So the numbers I have here are there's three people per squared kilometer, and in the United States, the average population density is 94 people.
They've got cities, dude.
No, I'm not saying they don't, but I think that more of their population lives in rural areas.
What's the population of Australia?
But I think, yeah, it's tough to say. It's tough to say based on average numbers, but I think their population is more spread out than ours is.
Their population is what, like 25 million or something?
It's not many, yeah.
So we have 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have big cities, you know, they've got military deployed to enforce the lockdown.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they don't have big cities, but I'm saying overall they're less densely populated, which means there are more people who live further away from other people who
I don't think that's true.
You don't think Australia's average population is less dense than the United States?
I'm saying Australia.
It's like 2 to 1.
Yeah.
Australia is as big as the U.S. Mm-hmm. with a tenth of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they're living further away from each other.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
It's that there's a big open outback of desert, nothing in the middle of the continent.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
What was U.S. population density? 20, how many people?
370 million?
No, density.
Oh, 94. The population density? 94 people per square mile.
And Australia was like 9?
Oh, actually, Australia is... Three? Australia. The United States is... But the United States' information I just gave you is miles. So if you look in kilometers, it's 36 people per kilometer squared, whereas in Australia,
right, so
it's 3 people.
10 times the population.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Very similar. Similar numbers.
Why is the vaccine rate in Australia 16%? Did you pull up the vaccination rate for the U.S.? Actually,
I had some numbers pulled up from earlier, and it said, again, about 70% of people have already gotten it or are getting it as soon as possible.
Wow. No. It's 50.4% of people in the United States are fully vaccinated.
Wow.
165 million people.
Wow.
At least one dose is 58.7%. Australia, 16.3%. I think when you crack down, you start arresting people for not wearing masks and you deploy military, people are not going to trust you.
Yeah, it would make me less likely.
I'm also curious what Australia is like culturally. Too. I wonder if they're as divided as the United States is, or if there's a more unified front in terms of the skepticism that they have towards government mandates.
Not sure.
Well, authoritarianism, this is why it doesn't work, because you lose the faith and the confidence of the people. And so we were having this conversation. I think it was, I don't know if it was with Vosh and Charlie in the bonus segment or something, about like authoritarianism is effective in that you can mandate things really, really quickly. And that's technically true. The problem is it derails itself. It falls apart because if you don't have confidence of the people, the system can't be supported. Government is an imaginary construct of people's confidence. Like, why is a dollar valuable? if you showed a dollar to a, you know, an alien, they'd be like, "It's I don't need this. What am I going to do with it?" Mm-hmm. Now, gold, they might understand, like, "Ah, you know, a conductor, I can do something with this." Mm-hmm. Money, they're going to be like, "Sure, I don't know. What you like this
stuff?"
They
might think it's a really cool picture.
Yeah, like, oh, it's a picture, and they put it on the wall and they tape it.
There's different kinds of
it's not functional
of authoritarianism too. There's the authority of one man, which is like totalitarian, you know, dictatorship, and then there's the authority of the of a constitution, like a written document, mm-hmm. and that's also a form of authoritarianism.
No, it isn't.
It's really not, but it is a form of authority. So they basically,
like, not all authority is authoritarianism.
Right. The founding
authoritarianism
fathers
authoritarianism is generally used as
Ian,
a pejorative.
The founding fathers. I would like to explain to you what authority is.
Go for it.
When a police officer in New York says, "You can't stand there, that's a frozen zone," which is what they do, that is not, that is authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. That is them just arbitrarily deciding, "I can do this." You want to know what real authority is? Seamus drops to the ground, and there's blood spraying everywhere, and a doctor looks you in the eye and says, put your hands on his neck right now. Mm-hmm. What would you say? Absolutely.
I would just do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If you were out in the street and you saw somebody hurt, and there was a guy, and he's like, "I'm a doctor. You, come here now. Put your hands here." Yeah. You would not think twice.
Exactly.
Because you know that's what real authority is. Mm-hmm. But if there was some crackpot guy in a rickshaw, and he was had people pulling him, and he was like, "You there, you know, come here and kneel so I can walk on your back because I and leave my rickshaw," you'd be like, "Get out of here. That's insane." And then if he threatened you with a weapon to make you do it, authoritarian.
Mm-hmm. I think that the reason I brought up the Founding Fathers again is because they established like two decades of massive authoritarianism in order to install a constitution that they could step back from and release their authority.
What do you mean by that?
Like, they were like, George Washington had ultimate authority over the land. They would have made him king. He could have become a monarch and big.
That doesn't mean authoritarianism, though.
But that they functioned authoritatively to build the constitution, to seize the million. Washington was getting his troops vaccinated against their will, you know, like pure on martial law, authoritarian crackdown to win the Revolutionary War.
But that's war.
And then instead of one guy maintaining authoritarianism, being like, "And now this is legal, but now it's not. And now that's the new thing." We just built a set of laws that could take over for us.
The fact that they gave up power and enacted a constitution shows it was never authoritarian. It was just war.
I think you can use authoritarianism for good. They seem to have.
I don't think it was authoritarianism. I don't think that falls in line with it. It was, "Hey, we want freedom. Oh no, they're attacking us. Quick, everyone come together. Here's what we have to do to survive." Like, if the house started burning down and I grabbed you and dragged you out of the house, is that authoritarianism?
Technically.
No, come on.
No,
man.
That's
if it hit the fan and you had to like take control
Ian's
of everything.
Ian's passed out from smoke inhalation, but he hasn't chosen to leave, so
I'm
leaving
not
here.
An authoritarian. I'm leaving him in the building. Well,
Ian's freedom to sleep during the fire.
True. I mean, it's interesting. So the word authority and the word author come from the same place, which is creator. Someone creates something, they have authority over it. Or if they have given you, they've delegated the authority over their creation to another person, then that person has authority over it. And of course, it comes ultimately from God creating the universe, delegating authority to specific civil authorities. But a belief in authority is not the same as a belief that unbridled authoritarianism is acceptable.
Yeah. When you think of unbridled authoritarianism, mm-hmm. do you think of it as like dictatorial?
Yeah. So I would say usurpation. Anytime an authority structure absorbs the role of a smaller, more vulnerable authority structure when it doesn't have to do so, I would call that authoritarianism. So basically anytime subsidiarity is violated. So I believe that there are all sorts of authority structures across humanity. So you have the family structure, which is an authority structure. You have the father at the head of the household. And then you also have local governments, state governments, a national government. And if one higher authority, quote unquote higher authority in that hierarchy comes down and takes a role which is proper to one of the lower authorities, so for example, if the state starts to interfere with family life in ways that are proper to a father, I believe that's authoritarianism because somebody is taking the rightful authority away from one and giving authority which is not due to another to them.
What's interesting is if they don't have to. And mm-hmm. and you got to define what does that mean if someone feels like they have to step in and take the authority? Like what?
I can explain.
Would a virus make someone think that?
I can explain to authoritarianism and libertarianism somewhat. With a great way. So the Democrats right now believe the economy is going good. Why? Because the authority told them. Mm. And they have strict adherence to the authority, which says, this is what you must do. They say, okay, the economy is good. Yes, sir. Trump supporters were told by Trump to get the vaccine, and they said, no. That's not authoritarianism.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, we live in the kind of a self-authored society. The Constitution is sort of supposedly self-authored by the by us, we the people.
Mm. We're a freedom-loving people, but and we are losing that freedom.
What interests me is that they seized authoritarian dictatorship for a short period of time in order to create a self-authored society.
It's war.
And also, it's this weird thing.
And plus, people could have just fled. I guess they've been cowards and I don't know.
To England, yeah.
It was a lot harder back then, I suppose. But they were loyalists. There were people who said no to the revolution.
That made me think of if we hadn't had South Carolina, the slave states, if they hadn't joined us, not only would they just not have been in there fighting, they would have been all loyalists.
You know what would have been really funny though is that they would have had to abolish slavery sooner if they remained with the crown. But this is really interesting, actually, in that regard, because I talked about this. Because a lot of people have said if America never declared independence, slavery would have ended 20 years earlier. And I'm like, I'm not sure that's true at all. Imagine the crown of Britain said we're mandating in 1833 the end of slavery. The southern states would have declared independence.
But the whole British ending slavery thing is kind of a fallacy because they did what was called enclosure. I was just watching a thing on Kings and Generals YouTube channel about this yesterday. Enclosure is basically where the lords of the land seized the land from all the civilians. 99.98% of British land is owned by like 0.01% of the population. Oh, wow. Well, since like the 1600s, since they started enclosure.
Well, and also if the United States was still under British rule, the economic and political incentives would be entirely different from the crown from what they were when England wasn't overseeing the United States and decided to end slavery. So I don't think you could say that if we stayed with the crown, slavery would have ended sooner. I don't think you could possibly know that.
Like, they might have let it roll in the Americas.
Yeah.
Because it was making them so much money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would just colonize.
Or because they feared some kind of revolt, right? Because the southern states seceded and revolted. So I have no reason to believe that the British government wouldn't have the foresight to say, oh, that will probably happen or could happen.
I think.
So to me, it's not something you could possibly.
I love my English homies, man, but the British government terrifies me. A monarchy in today's age.
Our government scares me a lot more. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you see, Britain, like the Commonwealth is struggling. Canada and Australia are getting messed up right now by authority. And then they got the God King at the top. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but it's not like the crown actually does anything.
It's a ceremonial position.
All behind it. They own land is what they do. Yeah. They basically control everything through ownership.
We have that in the United States too, bro.
Kind of, but you can have, there's a lot of private Trinity property Church, in the U.S.
Trinity in like New York, one of the largest landowners.
No, I didn't know that.
Bureau of Land Management is.
The Vatican.
In China.
Yeah, they own a lot of land. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you do it, I guess. You own the land like Ray Kroc. You know?
They're like, we're not doing anything. We just own the land. Yeah, come on.
Own the land under the McDonald's.
That's an active process to own land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will we... I wonder what the future holds for us.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably it's interesting. Living till we're 700 and like real healthy and stuff.
Live till 700 and be real healthy? Therapy, well, yeah. Once you get the 5,000th jab, you might make it.
Yeah, you're going
to
make it.
5,000. Well, to be fair, they've been saying since the beginning they were expecting to be like a yearly thing.
Yeah.
Like a flu shot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've said that they think this is going to be like a seasonal flu.
The issue is they didn't force me to get the flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Like you walk into Walgreens and they're like, would you like to? And it's like, yeah, maybe, yeah. I guess. I went to the doctor once. I told the story like, you know, he gave me like four or five shots or whatever.
Ugh.
Yeah, all at once.
There's an entirely
different culture around it. People don't shame you for not getting the flu
shot. Well, I know people that would get the flu shot and then get the flu because their immune systems would be so beat up by the shot that then they wouldn't be eating healthy and then they'd end up getting sick anyway. I'm like, what's the point?
The problem with the flu shot is that we develop it in conjunction with Australia because their flu season is ahead of ours. Sometimes they have a different strain of the flu than we have. So by the time the flu shot comes here and we're using it, we're like, oh, this will work for our strain, right? Sometimes not. Like there was one year I remember at the hospital, they gave us all the shot. It was great. It was wonderful. Tons of people still got the flu. It was something like 30% effective because the Australian strain just wasn't very much like the American strain.
I remember reading a while ago, this was before COVID, this is before anyone was really talking about this, before there was any, you know, seeming controversy over vaccines as far as I could tell. But I remember reading that flu vaccines were becoming less effective on a yearly basis and it was a serious problem that had to be dealt with. I haven't heard any.
I think the
discourse surrounding vaccines has clearly moved on to other issues, if that is the case. But
it's becoming the challenge is, I think one of the reasons you see these stories where people think the vaccine is more dangerous is because of the authoritarianism of the media and the left, the overstate, the cathedral, whatever you want to call it.
Because when the people who always lie to you tell you something's good, you're not going to believe them.
And they've discredited themselves over the past few years. Like Russiagate is you know what? For everybody who's listening, if you ever get somebody who's like, you know, oh, you believe that stuff? Be like, Russia.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, you lost all credibility when the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN and all these MSNBC were screaming Russia for years, mm-hmm. and it was all bunk. You lost me, dude. Sorry.
And also, like, there is precedent for them lying and moving the goalposts about this as well, this very situation. 2 weeks to slow the spread. Oh, the idea is we just want people locked down so that the hospitals don't get overwhelmed with new patients.
And then everyone forgot about that.
Yeah, everyone forgot about that. It was 2 weeks to slow the spread, and the whole point was
15 days.
I'm sorry. So a day over 2 weeks to slow the spread because we didn't want hospitals to get overwhelmed. And what happened?
They didn't get overwhelmed.
Exactly. But did we stop at 2 weeks? Unfortunately, no. So we've already been lied to about this, and the narrative has changed. Even if you don't want to say we were lied to, the narrative clearly changed. Yeah. The goalpost has moved. So people have no reason to believe it's not going to move if they go and get the vaccine or do whatever else they're being told to do. The idea that these people would scold you and talk down to you for not taking their word for it after they've repeatedly misrepresented what the future would be if we were to take their word for it is ridiculous. The lack of self-awareness is astounding, even for them.
This is why I always say, talk to your dad.
The droplets.
You don't lose heat.
I say, because listen.
Talk to your droplets.
I don't care the politics. There are people who make money off of shock content. Be it somebody who was like in a hospital bed going, I wish I got the vaccine. Or somebody being like, my legs don't work. It's like the people are going to find the stories that get the clicks. And that's why you need to find someone you trust who's done the research. And there are people who tell me that they don't trust their doctors. I'm like, then you need a good doctor, dude.
Yeah.
You
know? Lots of doctors. It's okay to travel from doctor to doctor. They call them second opinions.
Get a second opinion, exactly.
This is the age of like multiple opinions. Get lots and lots of doctors' opinions.
Well, just make sure that you trust they've done their research, that they're qualified. Because it's insane to me that anyone would think that I'm implying you go to a quack doctor in an alley. Like, no, I'm saying you go to someone and you ask them questions, say, here's what I saw, what do you think? And here's what I said earlier. Like, if you see a story, show them.
Yeah.
See what they think.
Yeah. Exactly. Because if there's nothing to it, then your doctor should generally be able to explain to you, well, sometimes these things happen or whatever it is, but the statistics I've seen in my research shows that it is safe if it is, right? So.
Let me add, the doctor I had in my neighborhood, we knew our doctor.
Yes, that's huge. I was about to bring that up, actually. It's not just talking to your doctor, and it's not just talking to a doctor who you've known or have had, because maybe you don't have a doctor who you go to primarily. It is really helpful to just have friends who are doctors. Like a wife who's a doctor, folks. But if you have friends who are doctors who you genuinely trust, who you aren't necessarily seeing,
that you're gonna
talk
to about these issues.
With about this stuff.
Let's go to Super Chats.
All right.
Oh, smash that like button. Okay, go to TimCast.com. We'll have a bonus segment.
Hit us with the
up.
Super Chats. Come there on, will be ladies and gents, boys and gals.
There will be a bonus segment at TimCast.com coming up around 11 or so p.m. So make sure you're a member there for all the good fun where we get spicy. But for now, just smash that like button. Let's read some Super Chats.
I'm not going to get spicy tonight, Tim.
Christian. I've been traveling all day. Jim Gochian says, screwing landlords over is on purpose. BlackRock can afford the losses, but mom and pop landlords can't and must sell or get foreclosed on. Great reset.
Well, wow, yeah, I mean, whether it's intentional, that is certainly bound to be one of the long-term consequences here.
Miso Trash says, happy birthday, Lids.
Thank you. Happy birthday. Appreciate that.
Shaul Kramer says, hey, TimCast team, Seamus, have you seen Tolstoy's Christian anarchist argument? What do you think of the prophet Samuel's warning against government?
Yeah, so I'm definitely not an anarchist. And if I'm not mistaken, what they're referring to with the prophet Samuel is when the people asked for a king. And there are certainly arguments and there are certainly warnings that people should heed about the state and the overstepping of authority. But as I mentioned earlier, authority comes by definition from what the word means from the author, from the creator, and the ultimate author of things is God. So as Christians, what we believe, and I should say as Catholics more specifically, is there are rightly ordered authority structures, including civil authorities, because scripture also says that the king does not wield the sword in vain, render unto Caesar, etc. So as Christians, we do believe that there should be some obedience to civil authorities as long as they're not asking you to do anything which is contrary to the faith or reason.
Matthew Hammond
says, and let me be clear, by faith or reason, I'm saying in with respect to like a well-formed conscience, because it's a very slippery slope to say, well, I don't agree with these reasons.
Matthew Hammond says, when are we going to get a Freedom Tunes movie?
Oh my goodness, I would love to do something like that. I'd need to figure out the funding. What I'm trying to do right now is get Freedom Tunes to be a more well-oiled machine so I can take on some more of these projects. So I've mentioned before, we work on other projects. I have other clients, but I really want to get Freedom Tunes specifically to be more steady so I can step away and do some of these expansionist things like a film or a television show or something like that. So one thing we need in order to do that isn't just the crowdfunding, patreon.com/freedomtunes, but animators. If you or anyone you know is an animator, please reach out to us. Can I give them your jobs at
why mine? You're hiring them.
I know, because I don't have an email address that I give to the public.
We can't go through extra emails.
All right, fine. All right. I guess so. Tim doesn't love me. I'll figure out. I'm trying to. Well, I'm not sure where to direct people because I don't have. I mean, just tweet at me. That's right. At Seamus Coughlin on Twitter. Actually, my DMs are open. At Seamus_Coughlin. Just if you or anyone you know is an animator, please reach out, because we're looking to hire more people so that we can do those kinds of projects.
I want
to
see people that have mastered Seamus's art form.
Yeah.
I was thinking this a couple nights ago, like, oh yeah, I bet people are like just really good at drawing your art exactly, and you could hire them.
The last video you did fixing leftist memes was great.
Thank you so much.
I love the one where you had the mug, and it's like, don't, but I tweeted it. It said, don't confuse your Google search with my medical degree. Yep. And then you changed it to my DuckDuckGo search, and then changed it to don't confuse your Google search with my Google search. Exactly. That was the best one. That's literally what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is 90% of the time. Well, go watch that video, actually. There's more to it. I won't spoil the joke.
Let's read some more super chats.
Crazy arms like this sometimes on your cartoon. Can you have them doing that while their arms are at their sides sometimes?
All right. Just for you.
Kendall Hurd says, last year, Adam said happy birthday to me. Can I get another happy birthday from the TimCast crew?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, happy birthday.
Big day.
Birthday, buddy.
X-Runner says, leftists make a great argument for anarcho-capitalism. That's right. All right, let's see. Jake Mahaney says, can you guys improvise a Fauci v. Trump skit live, please? Also, happy birthday, Lydia.
We definitely improvised a Trump v. Fauci skit, and we will definitely be improvising more skits.
Yeah, so the Mordor one from, what was that, like last week?
That I released last week, but we did that a while ago.
But it was because I was, I did a Joe Biden in Mordor as a joke.
We can't even get into that because that's going to be a really good video. We can't spoil that. Oh, remember, okay. No, I think you started with Fauci. We're like, cast it into the flames. And I don't know, dude, I was dying. And then we're like, all right, Lord,
we gotta do it.
We're like, we have to make this a video.
I was just Fauci as Elrond. That's so good.
Do it, Trump. Cast it into the Wuhan wet market. Such an incredible trilogy.
All right, let's see. Okay, Spare Climber says, hey, Tim, my girlfriend is a nurse at Banner.
Oh, I know Banner.
And is quitting over the vax mandate. Could you look into the situation here in AZ at all? Thanks. Absolutely love the show, guys.
My girlfriend's a nurse. Okay, folks.
I know Banner Health.
My girlfriend's a nurse, all right.
Close.
Let's see. Call for President says, the show isn't showing up in YouTube under the TimCast channel.
Huh.
Pretty sure that's why there's so few viewers. Happy birthday, Lydia. Keep searching, expanding Earth, Ian. Interesting. I don't know about that. Did you see it on the TimCast channel?
I didn't see it until 2 minutes before we went live.
I saw
it. And it was up for like 10 minutes? Yeah, maybe. But see, what they do is they don't show it to certain people.
Mm. I definitely do see it on the...
But so like...
But I subscribe.
If they don't have their vaccine passport, if they haven't verified that they're vaccinated, YouTube won't show it.
Go through a bunch of TimCast videos and click like on a bunch of them, and the YouTube algorithm will start sorting it to the top of your thing.
Maybe so, yeah.
Peter Gunn says, I just watched a video from Greg Foreman showing the Young Turks and Daily Beast trying to smear you. It was pathetic. You're getting big, man. Keep it up. Yeah, these things happen.
It was hilarious.
I love it when people are like, I'm going to try and find everyone who hates you to say bad things about you.
Yeah,
and it's like,
people don't like you.
It read like satire.
It was crazy.
It was really bad. I was reading the article. I was like, what is this? It's like too over the top. It was like a Dr. Mack segment.
I had a lot of people say that it was just like hard to read because it was so long.
It was really long. No, I was like jumping around in it. I definitely, it was very long and it was all the same garbage, but there were a few lines in there, man, that I saw that just stuck out to me that I thought were hilarious.
Well, you know, they try, but I don't dwell on these things.
Yeah, that's fair.
The way I see it is like they're trying to distract you. They're like, we're on a path, and that path is expanding, it's growing, it's successful, and the last thing I need is to waste time with distractions.
I get it. Good for you.
We got to do this D&D show.
The Lions don't care for the opinion of the sheep.
And we did hire a DM, a Dungeon Master, is here, so thank you guys so much for sending me
your
DMs.
I'll hire an exorcist for you.
Your DMs. Yes. Stuff. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Dr. Roller Gator says, happy birthday, Lydia. You're the best.
Thank you.
Lydia is the best. Happy birthday.
Yeah, she is.
We're happy for you.
Dr. Gator.
Ooh, look at this. Debt Collector says, hey, Tim, I just wanted to let you know the governor of Virginia just mandated that all state employees must show proof of the vax or be forced to get tested. See, that makes no sense. Yeah. If they're saying that there's still breakthrough cases, but if you're vaccinated, that you don't got to get tested.
Yeah.
But if you're not vaccinated, you do got to get tested. It's kind of like, but you're still, you still have an open door. Like, if the goal is to secure a building and you're like, people are less likely to go through this door than this door, so we're only going to watch this door. And I'm like, so eventually people will still get in the one door. Yeah. Like, I don't know. That makes no sense to me, dude. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? Gothic Extravaganza says, question for Seamus. If the debunked are so far removed from society, how do they receive communion? Also, happy birthday, Lydia.
Oh, the debunkers? The
debunkers, yeah.
That's it. They have, so they have a priest who will visit them on occasion who comes in. He's extremely intellectual, so they will not catch the stupid from him. I can't give you the name. He's a very famous, very intelligent priest, and he just goes and he distributes the Eucharist to them. But that's a great question, because they could not be as brilliant of debunkers if they were not in touch with
Corey. Corey Cass says, with how fast you can talk, you should be an auctioneer rather than those weird ad voices. This 20 can be the first bid on whatever you're auctioning.
Woo. What are we auctioning? Tickets?
We do have an auction system, which is going to be launched on the website at some point. Oh, yeah. And we're going to auction off stuff. Like, we got special custom colorway shoes.
Oh, yeah.
That everybody who works here got a pair of, I
so
think.
Cool.
Everybody. And then we've got, like, drawings that we're collecting of all of the guests.
Those are incredible.
Yeah, they're really amazing portraits. Those we're going to hold on to for a really long time. Maybe at some point we'll auction them off as like a fundraiser or something.
I love them.
No one
but
has
drawn also, me. We're also going to be doing the auction system was built for tickets to the compound to hang out at our events. So there's going to be a handful of first come, first serve for everybody who's a $25 member or more. And then there's going to be auction based because it's not like we can invite the whole world to this. It's not a public venue or anything. Yeah. So we actually are really limited in how we do it. And then there's an option for, like, people who don't have time to sit around refreshing, waiting for the post to appear. And then the people who pay more who are refreshing. So it's like, you know, we're balancing it. Eamon says, happy birthday, Lydia. Mine was on the 3rd. Yeah, we are both Leos. Seamus, love your work. My favorite video is the mostly peaceful Maxine Waters.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff.
God bless you.
Let's see. Bwaskal. California just mandated all healthcare workers must be vaccinated, as well as all hospital visitors. This may be the last straw for me staying in California.
Get out.
I think it's hilarious, all the people who are still in New York, when I've been saying, like, get out of the cities. Now they're like, oh, no, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm like, I can absolutely believe it.
And I'll tell this. Anything that keeps a sensible person, such as this particular viewer out of California, pushes them out, it's probably a good thing. I think there's a silver lining here.
Okay.
But just please, well, I assume if he's watching your show, he won't, but just please don't vote the way most Californians vote when you leave California.
Yes.
Louis Jr. Ramo says, Tim Pool, Independent Party for President 2024. Quote, defund the police, guns for all. Yes. We should, you know what we do? We turn all the police departments into Department of Gun Services.
Oh, yeah.
The buildings are already there. You've already got staff. Many of them have had basic training with weapons, and you walk in and you fill out the form like, you know, this is who I am. I can prove who I am, and here I'm getting my free gun. We got to do that. I know a lot of people were like, that's gun tracking, and I'm like, well, what if someone comes and gets two guns? You know,
let them have two guns, Tim.
Yeah, but we're not socialists.
What's the deal, bro? You know what? You don't know what his needs are. Someone goes in there and they need two guns. Just let them have two guns. If there's one thing our taxes should be funding. No, I'm kidding.
It's
here's
two
the thing.
Guns.
If taxes, and look, if the government was in control of distributing guns, we'd have a shortage.
Yeah, so we should definitely would. Yeah.
More than fine with not giving two guns. In fact, I don't think the government should give anyone a gun.
Yep.
CC Covey says, if legalized, a machine gun would cost you what, $4,000? You can rent a U-Haul and drive it down, yeah, I'm not going to read the rest of that one.
I knew where that was going.
Yep, nope.
Yeah, see where that's going. It's no good.
Levi says, Ian, you made a metaphor weeks ago about the Cleveland Browns, and you're from Ohio. Are you a Browns fan? Go Browns!
I used to be. It was pain. It was like masochistic, though. It was like 12 years of loss.
Terrible Browns.
And it was like 22 years of loss.
Sad.
I thought, what's his name? Tim Couch was going to get us there.
No. Barney Boyle says, what's the deal with Michael Malice-style anarchists? Like real anarchists?
What's the deal? I don't know. Was there more to the commentary?
No,
what's the deal with Michael Malice?
That's all I got.
Ian Shizop, I can't pronounce that, says, not going to lie, I think the beanie look needs to go in the near future.
What?
I'm going to let you guys know something. You know what? I do this because I want to do it. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah?
Exactly.
I don't wear suits. I never did. I never wanted to. And I don't do things I don't feel like doing. And if I didn't feel like doing this show, I wouldn't do it. That's it.
The upside is you're going to look really good in wigs.
What if I
I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to... I just do what I feel like doing. I'm not going to change myself for any kind of norms or structures or whatever. It's If it got to a point where, like, what I did wasn't effective, then I'd just take my van down to the river and go fishing.
If people were like, keep the beanie on, Tim, keep the beanie on, would you be like, no, I'm taking it off?
No, I'd be like, I'm just going to do what I feel like doing.
What if I just started wearing a suit every show?
You should.
Then I was the fancy one.
That'd be cool.
And then, exactly. And then everyone was like, well, this guy's wearing a suit. He must be the host.
I might start wearing headbands.
And then YouTube changed the name to Seamus Cast IRL because they're like, there must be a mistake. The guy in the suit must be the podcast host here. And then the Daily Beast started writing about me. They're like, we're so sorry to actually, is this guy in the suit? He's the problem.
It's not Tim.
General Kale says, can't wait to see a social worker try talking down a 6'4", 300-pound man wielding a sword while he's covered in dookie.
Well, how does that make you feel?
Dude.
I don't know, yeah.
Well, this is the thing. I've said this before. The whole social worker thing, all it's going to do is create a two-tier system. Because the people who are calling the police for reasons that would necessitate a social worker tend, or, you know, supposedly necessitate a social worker rather than a police officer, tend to be people in higher income areas where you don't have as much of a reason to call the police because there aren't dangerous people. So what do you end up with? Well, you end up with a situation where the social workers are being called in the wealthy suburbs, and in the inner city people call the police because that's where they're generally dealing with more actual emergencies. And so the funding for social workers gets diverted to the suburbs because that's where they're all going, and the funding for the police departments get diverted to the inner cities, and you end up with a two-tier system. And the people dealing with brutality and, you know, police misconduct are going to be the people in the inner cities, not the people getting the social workers.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's going to shake out.
Is it day 512 of the lockdown?
I don't know. Might be.
Well, it was March of 2020. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, it's well over a year, probably.
Is it 512?
Year and a half.
I think 512 sounds about right. Yeah. I thought it was 15 days.
Yeah. Oh, but then
it's been a really long 15 days.
Yeah.
Dorsey Woods says, so I'm going to take your guns and police, then continue to spend thousands on personal security because my life is more valuable than that of you peasants.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Lids. Oh, Tim, look for me in your pitches emails.
Very cool.
That's basically what they do.
Yep.
Bynan Lee says, Tim, I work for a large gun manufacturer and we are understaffed and overworked trying to fill demands for handguns.
Wow.
Some lines have been working 60 hours a week plus optional weekends.
Oh, wow.
Man, crazy.
That's crazy, yo.
Well, if it's any consolation to the incredibly difficult schedule, you are doing very important work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ryan Whale says we should ban all people with the last names Bush from holding public office. What a beautiful world it would be.
Please okay, that's clap. What,
yes.
Please clap. It, yeah.
Jeb, exclamation point.
Nate Parrott says, dude, Ian, yes, the U.S. isn't invaded because there's a gun behind every blade of grass.
Yeah, yeah.
If we could arm everyone. P.S. I had to pull off to the side of the road and park to send this. Happy belated birthday, Liz. Awesome.
Thanks for being safe.
Be
like
careful,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Braden T says, if a bad guy flees the U.S. into Canada, different police forces with different laws and tactics come together to work out a solution. Why couldn't private security agencies do the same? Dave Smith, 2024.
Yeah, I was going to
They could, yeah, but that's not what I said.
That. Oh, okay.
If little Johnny from Hillside, mm-hmm. where they pay the Hillside security, mm-hmm. goes into Valleyside and steals the amulet of
Gix.
There you go.
Sure.
Is that a real thing from something?
I think it's from Baldur's Gate.
Oh, okay. And it's worth $5,000. And he goes to this town, and then the Valleyside police come over saying, he's got our thing. The Hillside police are sworn and paid to protect the residents of Hillside, and they're going to be like, we don't know, we don't care. This family pays us. Not only that, the family of the kid can be like, we're paying you, protect us from these people, they're lying. Mm. So cooperation would be difficult because of competing financial interests. The thing about the United States and Canada is that the governments have treaties, and they don't care about you as a peasant. The issue is when Hillside Security is a small entity that operates only in this one place. Without the support of the people, they don't exist. Hmm. So they could cooperate, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's basically when, you know, there's two groups. I've seen it over and over and over again. The leftists complain all day and night about how cops aren't held accountable, but then they say snitches get stitches.
Yep.
Bro, if you're telling people not to rat anybody out, why do you complain when cops don't do it? That's exactly the ideology you're espousing. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Amen.
Okay, let's see. Thousand Foot Deep End says, Ian's correct. My former HPD sergeant aunt said domestic disturbance calls are the most dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yesterday in my hometown, a cop was shot multiple times while responding to one.
Wow.
The officer survived and the suspect was arrested today.
Oh, you're good. Going into their house, which is also very threatening to them, you know, and they're already heightened and enraged. Yeah. It's a really crazy.
That's Stoker cool. Roylet says, I've gotten out of more tickets by being respectful. Dome lights on, glove boxes open, hands on steering wheel. AA book and Bible on passenger seat. Pictures of my kids on dash. Happy birthday, Lydia. Mm-hmm. I got you something real nice. I don't think you should open your glove box, but I'm not sure how the rules work on that one. I've heard stories where if you open your glove box, you're consenting to a search or something like that.
An entire car search?
Yep.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I've never heard that.
I think that maybe, though, if they ask you to open your glove box and you comply, then they say he agreed to let the car be searched. And then they can broadly search your car. I don't know if that's true. It's actually really crazy because I think the exclusionary rule means like the cop can't even look in the window.
Hmm.
Like there was a story in Chicago, something about where the cop pulled somebody over and then looked through the window and saw something. And they were like, you can't do that because you didn't have the right to search the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
You know what cops do? They pull you over and they go, hey, sir's like,
yes.
I smell pot out of the car.
Dude.
It's like, dude, I hit a skunk a mile back. It's ridiculous.
No.
But no, it's insane that you could just... Because how can you prove that later? Well, why'd you search his car? I smelled weed. Yeah. Okay. You don't need any proof for that.
That's so funny. I had a cop do that to me. I was getting home late because I do post-production after the show. He pulled me over because I rolled a stop sign. He followed me to my house. It's great. And he's like, have you been drinking? And he was like, have you been drinking? And I was like, no, I was at work. Like, I literally just left work like half an hour ago. And he's like... Okay. I was like, what the heck? I didn't realize that was a thing they did until that last.
Well, asking you if you've been drinking is different from saying, I smell pot, get out of your car. I had a cop pull me over and then walk up to the car and say, he's like, good evening, sir. It's a, oh, whoa, I smell marijuana. And I was like, what? Are you kidding, dude? I don't smoke.
You don't.
And he was like, out of the vehicle. And then I was like, excuse me. He said, out of the vehicle now. And I was like, got out of the vehicle. And then it's a long story. I told it before. But yeah, that happens.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Christopher Knowles says, used to be very liberal. Took a World Wars history class in college and changed over a quarter.
Wow.
Ignorance goes a long way. Corporate media is America's platonic cave. Shout out to M. Harris's book, Cow Pigs, Wars, and Witches.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, let's see what we got. Flick Store Entertainment says, Tim, the Small Business Administration gives grants to business owners, but people don't know what they are doing. Yeah, I get that. But I'm saying, like, it's better than UBI. Limited, one time, here's your opportunity, and then you get nothing to complain about. Well, I tried to start my business and failed. Okay, well, you had your opportunity. No talent was lost. And maybe later in life, you'll get more wisdom and skill and talent, and then you'll succeed. But, you know, we give people a chance, I guess. Ginger Vitus says, do you notice Saki keeps saying carrot or stick? They're using phrases treating us like animals. This originates from Churchill talking about Nazis. Oof.
Carrot and stick? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Ham Zinka says, in a true UBI system, we would all be paid the same regardless of employment or not. Those who don't work survive in poverty. Those who do are rich, having both the UBI income and the employment business income. And then many of those people who receive the UBI, instead of spending it on rent or food, spend it on ho-hos, Twinkies, or drugs. And then we say, we have a crisis of people spending their money improperly.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I can imagine it occurring where people are spending this money either on ho-hos, Twinkies, things that are not good for public health, so to speak, or on things that the media could say are bigoted or offensive. Maybe they're supporting alternative media outlets with their money the way some people did with their stimulus checks. And then I think it starts to become a matter of, well, do we need to examine and give people UBI like on the basis of some kind of social credit score? I mean, again, that's extremely hypothetical, but I think it's within the realm of possibility. Once the government starts giving you money, it's not as if there are never strings attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
Bug HQ says supply prices up 30%, labor rates up 50%. This war on small business is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. When I try to talk to people about it, all I hear is crickets, much like you'd get when you buy from Bug HQ. Did I do it right, Mr. Michael Knowles? Happy birthday, Lids.
That's pretty good.
Bug HQ, we could use some crickets thrown to the chickens.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a couple chicken babies hatching soon.
Oh.
We had some rotten eggs, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. There's bacteria in the egg, I guess. They go bad.
Oh. That's tough.
Yeah. And they were, it's a couple weeks. They were getting ready to hatch too and had to pull them out.
Boo.
But, I think we may have still five, you know,
right.
Growing and maybe going to hatch soon. It's not easy.
That's why they lay so many eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's carry on, my good friends. I don't know what that super chat is in reference to. John Smith says, in Starship Troopers, the Federation emerged naturally during a time of great chaos where veterans began banding together to stop looting and rioting.
Huh.
Interesting.
That sounds good.
Seriously, JK says, I think you're all forgetting about free enterprise in the U.S. Decentralization will catapult the exponential increase in economic productivity, creating a national black market for counterfeit vaccine passports. Defund my brain. Mm. Yeah, that's illegal, though. Interestingly,
talk to your lawyer about it.
No, I mean, you should. But my understanding is it's only illegal if you forge the CDC logo. Oh. But with, like, I guess with I don't know if that would apply to the mobile apps they do. Yeah, I really think some hacker is going to come up with a thing it's going to be, you know. All right, let's see. Kevin Brady says, I quit my welding job to be a filmmaker full-time after 3 years of working about 80 hours plus a week.
Oh, man.
I just negotiated a part-time marketing job at my former employer. You can do it without college. In fact, I recommend you do it without college.
Good for him, honestly. I love hearing that. Someone, you know, like somebody going after it.
I like
That's
it.
Tough. That's a risk and good for him.
I like it for you, actually, dude. That's yes, because follow it. But this has been on my mind a lot. I feel like the United States has become a country of artists and, like, writers.
For sure. Like, so I think there's definitely been an argument to be made that welders are more important than filmmakers. But we have a lot of filmmakers right now putting out horrible ideas, and we need people producing media that's going to represent positive values. And also, if it is really the case that he was more productive and valuable for society as a welder, he's not going to make money making films. And he'll go back to welding. But I think it's good for him that he's trying it. Like, I really do.
What's happened?
Because he doesn't want to look back on his life and think, what if? What if I could have done this?
Right.
What if I could have contributed something different that I would be more passionate about contributing, and I never did? So good for this guy.
I think it's more fun to create art. But, like, what we have is a country of, like, people making movies and then talking about it and complaining about it, and then people writing stories about how people are complaining about it, and then writing stories about them. And, like, we're all making money as we do it, which is this fairy tale fiat worthless thing that we think is, like, numbers in a bank account. And, like, what's the real value? The food's being imported. The gasoline's being imported. Like,
so I think there is value to the arts. What happens is when there is an economy which is robust and well-functioning enough for there to be a lot of excess wealth, then there are people who can do things like be political commentators or create movies or television shows, the things that don't directly increase the supply of basic necessities. Mm. And so I think you're right that an economy can become lopsided at some point, but that's basically just what bubbles are. And so if there's a bubble there, it'll pop. I would say, again, I really want to continue to affirm this guy, because if the filmmaking thing doesn't work out, he has a very valuable skill.
Yeah.
He's not ever going to have trouble getting a job as a welder. Though I have said I would stop making predictions about the future given the past couple of years, so maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe we just have this excess of welders at some point, and he should stick to filmmaking, even if it hasn't quite panned out.
Just think about how great it's going to be when we're a nation of nothing but musicians and filmmakers.
It's going to be fantastic.
Everyone's going to be a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Everyone's starting a podcast.
Mm. And this is the problem. When you have something like UBI, it allows for a gargantuan bubble the likes of which could never occur in a freer market.
Vosh actually said that we should print quadrillions of dollars to pay for that. Did you hear him say that? It was really quick and quiet. He said it as we were all talking, and we didn't really go into it, but I was like, I want to pick his brain on that. What? Like, how?
Print quadrillions of dollars?
And yeah, because we were like, we've printed 20
Venezuela
like,
just slashed six zeros off their currency.
Maybe he was joking.
Did he
but
say
he said
that
it really
could have
quiet
been,
and
he might have been joking.
He could have been joking. Yeah. You could have misheard.
But he was saying in defense of UBI, he was like, print quadrillions. I don't know. I'd like to ask him.
So the money is worth nothing?
That's what would happen.
Welcome to Venezuela.
The dollar would lose value.
Well, so, and again, even people who are proponents of this MMT fantasy will tell you that in order for inflation not to occur when you're injecting copious amounts of currency into the economy, you have to have a very productive economy and you need to reach full employment, basically. And right now, we have just printed an insane amount of money after shutting the economy down for months at a time. So let's see how that works out. Again, even the people who have all these fantasies about us being able to print whatever money we want under an MMT structure could look at something like this and say, not going to be great for the value of our dollar.
The Survival Prepper says, keep preaching preparedness, Tim. Our financial supply chain and governmental issues may seem small should the House Foreign Affairs Committee minority staff report about China and the origins of COVID. Mm-hmm. Preparedness now is insurance for the future. It absolutely is.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think people who don't have some level of just like emergency supplies are just arrogant and stupid.
Amen.
Especially in cities of all places.
Yeah.
Man, escape from New York, but I don't think I should have a first aid kit, water, or food. It's like, I'm not telling you to stock up and fill up an underground bunker with 30 years of beans, dude.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, what are you going to eat when it rains?
Yeah.
A hurricane.
Seriously.
A hurricane knocked out power in New York for a couple of weeks, and it was hard to get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks, what did you eat?
Like, we're not saying you have to, though. I actually wouldn't advise against this, but no one's saying, you know, get months or years of emergency supply food, though. Actually, I would recommend that, but it can even just be a couple weeks. It can really just be a couple weeks worth of emergency supply food. And let me add the caveat, if you have the financial means where you're capable of doing so without compromising having your short-term needs met, you should get months worth of emergency supply food, because it literally cannot hurt you to have it. But yeah, it can even just be like 4 weeks worth of emergency supply food. I don't understand how anyone could be against that. There are people who will scoff at that idea of being, you know, prepared with emergency food. And I just, the smooth brain thinking there to me is just unbelievable.
Delhi Opla says, Ian doesn't know what he's talking about. The lockdowns in Australia are nowhere near as strict as what they had in CA and New York, not even close. Hmm. Yeah, New York had checkpoints.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't even enter certain places.
Aren't people getting dragged out of their houses in Australia?
I don't know if they're getting dragged out of their houses.
They get dragged out of their house like 10 months ago for a Facebook post or something.
I think was in the UK.
Isn't that considered part of the UK Commonwealth?
I mean, technically, but come on, they're different countries.
Are you sure it wasn't Australia? Remember that woman screaming? Yeah. And
there was a woman who was like had a mask exemption.
I thought people were getting dragged out of their houses in Australia. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize.
I know in Canada and the UK that happened.
Canada,
yeah,
Canada had a rough too right now.
Oh yeah. All right, let's just grab one more. Let's see what we got here. We'll wrap up on this last one. Destiny Pratt says, happy birthday, Lids. Mine's in 2 days.
Thank you. Oh, happy birthday.
There you go. All right, everybody. Follow us at TimCast IRL. Basically everywhere. You can follow me personally at TimCast. Go to TimCast.com because we will have a bonus members podcast coming up around 11 or so p.m. And, you know, sign up. Help support our journalism. You'll get an ad-free experience as well. And the mainstream media is clearly angry at the success and expansion of our site.
That's right.
We're going to be launching a nonprofit, so I'm talking with some lawyers about this, like proper formation. We're going to create a separate entity, which is going to be independent, and we're going to hire fact checkers. And the goal is to fact check articles as well as take a random sampling from different news organizations and then run those articles against the SBJ. So these are like the standard journalistic ethics. And then if they don't label opinion, if there's factual inaccuracies, if they don't address conflicts of interest, if they don't announce corrections and we can see manipulations to the article, these will get an X. Then we'll do a random sampling of 100 articles from the past 3 months, and then we'll say X out of 100 are good. So you might see some, you know, clickbait leftist site getting a 30 out of 100, some conservative site getting a 30 out of 100. The New York Times, I think, would probably be like a 60 out of 100. Huffington Post would probably be a 0. And I mean that literally because I think it's all opinion and unlabeled. You can't put up an article that is opinion and not say it's opinion. And a lot of these like websites do this. So Daily Beast and Slate and Salon, they probably all be zeros just across the board. Daily Wire says it's an opinion, conservative, you know, and commentary. But, you know, we'll see as well because they might actually get a zero too. We'll see. But Seamus, do you want to mention anything?
Yeah, so just check me out, youtube.com/freedomtunes. That's TOONS. We're going to be releasing a cartoon tomorrow with Dr. Fauci in it. It's going to be pretty funny. Also, if you are an animator looking for work, at Seamus Coughlin on Twitter. That's SEAMUS _COUGHLIN. Really easy to spell.
Seamus Coughlin.
If you want to just check out, it should be in the link. It should be in the description of this podcast.
Indeed,
but just reach out to me. We're looking to bring people on the team for Freedom Tunes and also other projects because I've mentioned my business is expanding. So
great
reach
news.
Out. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you here, Seamus.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Tim, Lydia, thanks for coming. Lydia, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Lids.
Follow me at Ian Crossland on the internet. I would love to see
on
you.
On the
Thank
internet.
You.
Yes. Follow Ian on the internet. Thank you guys so much for helping me celebrate my birthday. I think I've worked every birthday of the last 10 years, and this is the most special I felt on my birthday. You guys are more than welcome to follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids. I am closing in on Sour Patch Kids. I think I'm 10K away, so let's do it.
Let's get her that birthday. But guys, let's get her that birthday present of 10K? Beating Sour Patch Kids. Can go. We go over there and like no, Lydia's Twitter? So. Can we get? Can we give her a follow? Let's do it.
Yeah, sure.
Right, everybody do it.
See what we can do. Thanks, Seamus.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday. We will see you all at timcast.com. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye.